Hello, everybody, and welcome to 4th and Goal, the official podcast of 4thandgoalshow.blogspot.com. My name is Mike Thomas. Let's go ahead and introduce the voices that will be coming to you shortly. Sitting to my left, Mr. Craig Brooks. How's it going?
Pretty good. We're in the thick of the season. Well, not the thick, but we're getting into it. We're getting into the football, and we're doing really good.
It's awesome.
I'm liking it. Week 1 and 2, it was like, okay. I still can't tell what's going on, but I'm excited. I'm excited for where things are headed.
Stop Cuba. Talking. That was long.
Fuck you.
Oh.
Hey,
Cuba, how's it going?
Good, good. My mountains are
good. Remember when I said I wasn't going to bother your scoreboard? That's all over now.
Yeah, whatever.
That's going out the window.
Try it.
That's right.
Bottle over your head.
And then the last person you will be hearing on the show tonight, Reggie, how's it going?
It's going good. Unfortunately, this may be the last time on here for a while.
For a little bit.
For a little bit. I'll be back by playoffs. I'll be definitely back by playoffs.
There you go.
That's good.
We'll be off the air.
Yeah.
We'll be bored by then and just not do it anymore.
Considering that nobody's paying us, maybe we will be on the air.
Okay, so, you know, week two happened over the weekend, and that was just, what the fuck?
Really?
Is there any other way to describe what happened in week two? The Browns
so
put up 50
up.
points. LT's the worst rusher in the league.
How you feel about picking him first?
I'm upset.
Oh.
It is. Every single running back on my bench did better than LT and Joseph Addai, who I had started.
Addai did okay, though.
Yeah, and Addai did okay, but I had Marion Barber and Jamal Lewis for fantasy.
Right.
Points.
We'll get to fantasy later, but
that was a Reggie.
That was a fluke.
Reggie, since I'm trying to trade him to you,
that was a fluke. Come on.
Okay, 200 yards and a couple touchdowns. That is a fluke.
When is that ever going to happen?
Did he have two
again?
Or touchdowns?
He had one touchdown.
I thought he only had one in yards.
He had one
over
in yards.
Derek threw five, so he only had one.
Yeah, he only had one. But it was over 200 yards.
Oh, yeah. It was like
it's great.
It was like 210 or 207.
If I would have put Braylon Edwards in, but how was I supposed to know?
How do you know?
Exactly.
Braylon, actually, if you know anything about things, third-year receivers, that's when they have their breakout fantasy years.
But he had Derek Anderson throwing to him, which
that is true,
was surprising.
But now Derek Anderson's a stud. He's a stud now.
The other thing that goes with that is I had Torrey Holt, Chad Johnson, and Joey Galloway.
Well, we'll talk fantasy later. We'll talk fantasy later.
I was in shock. I had to go to Epcot.
It's a crazy week.
With my girlfriend and her family, so I got to miss pretty much all of the day football. But I was sitting around watching, checking all the scores on my phone,
pussy.
And I was like, 51?
If I remember, somebody went to a play.
Yeah, I know.
So I wouldn't be trashing Mike too much.
He didn't say it.
I forgot about it, that's why.
Yeah, it sucked too. It was an awful rendition of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the only saving grace, and it's only because I think I've grown a portion of a soul, is they had the Oompa Loompas were little like 4-year-old girls, and they were actually cute with what they were doing. That was the
I was
only
like, say something to make that better.
Yeah.
No, they were very cute. They were like all singing in unison.
The
they didn't screw
girls.
Up. No, they didn't screw up a single line. It was kind of like when I was 4.
They were robots.
No, they were out after and excited and stuff. Everything else about that sucked. Except the girl who played Veruca Salt.
Really?
6 years from now, she's getting a ring-a-ling ding.
Oh my god.
Well, there's no way to tell how old she was.
Oh.
Her glamour shot could have been 14.
So 6 years. It's a good guess.
Because I think she's 12. I said 6 years because 18 is fair ball. I don't know what you're thinking.
I wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, 20. That's actually getting a little old. I mean, because I told Reggie we were over
drinking
wine today.
They don't fall for the bike in the back of my van trick anymore at that point.
Yeah. Well, 18, my trick is more like, do you want candy? It's not about the bike. It's all candy. And by candy, I mean roofies and Skittles and other drugs, ecstasy. If you give them what the kids want.
Give them a beer.
Nice.
I know. I told Reggie today, I know this is off topic and everything like that, but 4th and Goal is a metaphor for life, and we're talking about
roofies
life
and stuff like that. That is completely on.
No, I'm going to start at 18. That's my new 18 and 19-year-olds. If you're out there listening, Craig's ready for you. And if you are over 160 pounds, don't bother.
You went there.
Of course he went there.
Yeah.
Why else would you go there? Out of everything, that's the shocking thing that he said?
He should qualify.
I was going to say a size, but I can't remember the sizes of the ones that I like, so I can't go there.
Craig can see your collarbone, give him a call.
High five. The collarbone rule. If you look in the mirror and you can see your collarbones, you're not fat probably. Unless you're a pear. You could be a pear. And if you're a pear, I don't want it. But if you can see your collarbones and, you know, whatever. And you're over 18. If you're turning 18, just email your birthday to 4th and Goal.
a photo.
Oh, good point. Of your, from the chest up, but not the boobies. Just the, I want to be able to see the collarbones. It's not, you don't have to send like a nudie pic.
No, he's like from the collarbone down to the belly button. That's it.
I need face because there's problems there too.
And that is the second one.
True. True. Yeah, well, no, but they can just give me upper chest and up, and then I could see you're not fat.
You
don't have a double chin.
Like, show me more.
Right.
Pan down a little bit.
Sure. But I'm really more concerned with, because if they're, I feel like, since we're getting into it, I feel like if they're hefty, if they're big, if they're whatever, I should probably not even talk to them at all. That's what. Well, I mean, I've had some, you know. Oh, man.
We won't get into that.
I just realized.
Let's move on.
Please do, because I was like, okay.
On to the scoreboard.
There's certain people I'm no longer telling about fourth and goal. And, my name is Richard.
Richard
Jeffries. I wasn't even going with that. I was just, I'm not who you think I am.
Whoops. Okay.
I hope he doesn't listen.
Crazy, crazy week two in the NFL. For more, let's find out exactly what happened. Let's kick it over to Cuba with the week two scoreboard.
All right. Well, to start off, well, I guess Craig's going to continue doing that from last week.
Put it back in the cage, Craig.
Yeah.
The Colts pulled out a close one in their 22-20 victory over the Titans. Vince Young is still not hurt, so stay tuned for more.
I saw him limp for a little bit, though.
Yeah, I did, too. I was like, oh, but then he was fine.
Yeah,
I was hoping.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, some people want to see the Madden curse come true, I guess.
That's an evil man.
I know.
He is evil.
I know. The Jaguars looked bad in their way too close victory over the Falcons. 13-7 victory is just not enough against a team with Joy Harrington at the helm.
No.
I'm pretty sure the Falcons won't score more than 10 points the entire year.
Well, that's not true. I think with
Well, that means they can't score again.
Yeah.
No, 10 points a game. I meant my apologies.
Their
defense
might score.
Yeah.
A touchdown.
Well, plus
I know, and the offense won't in that game.
Plus, oh, okay. Yeah.
I meant 10 points a game. I didn't mean the whole season.
If Leftwich comes in and he's healthy, he might do something.
We'll get
talk
into
about
that a little
later
bit more
because
in the news.
That's the noise I make when I hear that. He's going to maybe start
that
there.
That was actually the noise that Coach Jack Del Rio said, too. He was like, I don't care. Good luck for them. Whatever. Yeah. We'll get into that later in the news. Go ahead and continue the scoreboard.
Willie Parker ran for 126 yards in the Steelers' victory over the Bills at 26-3. It was another dominant performance for the Steel Curtain.
That's right.
The Rams continued.
So many Steelers shirts at Epcot,
by
the way.
Go
it
on.
Was crazy.
Who cares? Steelers suck.
High five in them all.
The Rams continued to not look like the Rams in their 17-16 loss to the 49ers. Despite Bolger's 368 passing yards, the team and Steven Jackson could not get the win. Sorry, Craig.
That's all right. I got other things working.
The Texans dominated. The Texans dominated for the second week in their 34-21 performance over the Panthers. Let's see what happens next week with no Andre Johnson.
What really upsets me about that is that the best plays of the game were Steve Smith.
Yeah.
And well, they didn't win.
And I was going to say.
I did see that play, by the way. Yeah. Craig was telling me about that.
Steve Smith
caught it and like five people hit him.
It was for one, which was a straight tackle. And by the way, that was a linebacker.
Yeah.
He missed.
Yeah.
The other four was a linebacker and I think it was three DBs.
And then you just scored it out the side. I was at the treadmill watching it on SportsCenter. I almost fell off the treadmill. Oh, I was like, whoa, Jesus.
It was.
Christ.
And did you see his?
And I knew it was coming.
You saw the other touchdown where he tipped it to himself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's straight.
Yeah. He's back, by the way, in case anybody was wondering.
He's back. He didn't really go away, but he's back.
He
had a hamstring last year. He was not. He didn't play well. He didn't play right at all last year.
He actually had a decent statistical season.
It wasn't what
I said.
His par, yeah.
I know. Well, his par is leading the league in all categories.
And
so,
he's close to that right now.
Yeah.
Well, he's leading in touchdowns and not yards, but he's leading in
I
score.
Thought Chad Johnson. Would,
Chad Johnson has three touchdowns. Yeah. Steve Smith has
Steve
four.
Steve has four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chad's got the yards.
Maybe it was yards. I remember seeing
Chad
his
is
picture.
Leading in yards, but only by like 30.
Yeah. Brett Favre became the all-time win leader for QBs in the Packers' 35-13 win
over
the Giants. Oh yeah. If anyone knows how to help the Giants, let Coughlin know. They are looking pretty bad.
Yeah, they're reading any and all blogs, any podcasts.
They are just not good.
When he gets fired in two more weeks when they go 0-4.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it's going
to
happen.
If they lose possible. To Washington,
keep, yeah,
I just don't think he's going to get fired. I think they are going to lose. I just don't think they're going to get fired.
Nah, I don't know. It's New York, man. I mean,
well,
the way the sports people there, they're crazy.
He stinks.
He does.
My team wants to have me have a heart attack. That's all I can determine since the Dolphins decided to lose for the second straight week in a row. Dallas and T.O., 97 yards and a touchdown, beat up on Miami, 37-20.
Yeah.
So, the Saints maintain...
It wasn't even, like, unexpected except for the four interception part.
No.
That was kind of unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trent Green, no good. Go on.
He still would have been better for me than Jay Cutler.
Yeah, well, that's fantasy. We'll get there.
The Saints made Tampa look good at home with a bad 14-31 loss. I mean, I don't know what's wrong with them, but Joey Galloway continued to be good with
135 yards.
Is anyone
else shocked that Garcia has a quarterback rating for the season of, like, oh, well over 100?
Yeah.
No.
I'm not shocked because it's all because of that one game. I mean, yeah, he played okay in the first game, but it's because of the last game. He threw 10 times, 250 yards,
yeah,
and completed 10 of 13. It was like he only threw a couple of times, and they caught almost all of them.
And it was
and
all
Galloway
running for like 60 yards after
Joey
the
Galloway.
Catch.
So, no, I'm not impressed by that. I'm not impressed by his passer rating. I think he's better than what happened to him anyway, and I think Philly fans are going to be kicking themselves, or already are.
Yeah.
But that's for later anyway, so.
Yeah. A game I'm still trying to understand was the Bengals 51-45 loss to the Browns. Three different wide receivers in the game had two touchdowns.
I thought it was a glitch in my phone.
Yeah. And apparently neither team has a defense. Can't wait to see what happens to the Bengals when they play the Steelers.
They are going to get hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
But the Bengals
Willie Parker's
going
to have 200 yards on.
The Bengals should be able to score back, but not as much.
The Steelers have only allowed 10 points on the season.
Yeah.
They have such a good pass offense, though, the Bengals. They don't have the run game going.
But
I know. This is
We can sign Kimo Von Ohlhoffen to dive at his knees.
Yeah, well, you guys don't have the greatest CBs. You got a good safety.
Actually, the Steelers, top five in secondary
for two games.
For passing.
For two games. That's fine. I believe in Troy. I believe in him as a person, as a player. I don't believe in your cornerbacks from years
they're
of watching.
They're playing much better.
Oh,
they
yes,
are
they are.
Much
well,
better.
So is Indy, but we don't know if they're the real deal.
And I just read an article today where they were saying that Tomlin took all the chains off of the defensive coordinator Dick LeBeau, and then he's moving like in Madden, which you don't think would work. He's moving the left linebacker all the way over to the right side of the line of scrimmage and just blitzing everybody from that side and just causing havoc, and it's working.
Well, Dick LeBeau's good.
So. That's what I do.
Yeah, I thought it was silly, but now
video game tactics
not so much.
Yeah. The Bears still look gross in their 20-10 victory over the Chiefs. I mean, really, the Chiefs are horrible. Not as bad as the Bears' offense, which mainly consists of Devin Hester returning punts.
Did anybody else hear Lovie Smith comment about Rex Grossman and the quarterback situation?
No.
They asked him if there was any thoughts or what the quarterback situation was, and he goes, well, today Rex Grossman is our quarterback. And that's all he would say on it.
is he going back to what he said last year? That's quite funny.
No. He's not going to defend him the whole season if he's
not the appropriate amount of confidence that you want.
He's not even having a good semester, a good September like he did last year.
Yeah,
I mean,
no, he's having trouble.
Yeah.
Rex Grossman is our quarterback.
Edgerrin James, with his 128 rushing yards, helped the Cardinals pull out a 23-20 victory over the Seahawks.
That was quite impressive.
A bit of a shocker, honestly. Yeah. A bit of a shocker.
Hurt my pick'em league.
Well, we all got hurt in that because the spreads got all messed up.
John Kitna is determined to get 10 wins this season. Whether or not he dies in the process is still to be determined. Really, you cannot knock a guy who had a concussion and later returns to lead his team to victory 20-17 over the Vikings. Of course, if Tavares Jackson was not a QB, that probably wouldn't have happened.
No.
Because he had like 4 picks.
He had 4 picks and a fumble.
Yeah.
Tavares Jackson is going to be the reason Minnesota won't make the playoffs if he stays their quarterback. That defense is actually pretty good. They're playing well right now. They're doing things that you wouldn't expect, and Minnesota could win 8 games if they had a better quarterback. Yeah. 8 or 9 games.
The problem is they don't even have anyone behind them.
Right.
I forget who they're back.
Brooks Bollinger.
Yeah.
That's not. They got rid of Brad.
Yeah.
That was a mistake. That was a big mistake.
And to hand the reins to Tavares Jackson is mind-boggling. It's life-altering for that coach because he now, like, he sowed himself to Tavares by saying, you're our guy. Like, there was no quarterback controversy in Minnesota. It was just, you're our guy. Take us on. I think he's already had 6 turnovers.
I don't know. I can't say that he's tied to him forever because just looking at the Steelers, all the quarterbacks that Cowher put in under center.
It's different. Minnesota's got a newer coach than that. Cowher was already he was like,
but
a
he
big
never
guy.
Had. They have not had anybody that was consistent at quarterback since Bradshaw and now Big Ben.
No,
I mean the closest you can say is Cordell Stewart, and even he had a year, and then after that he was garbage, and that was the closest Cowher ever came to consistency at the quarterback position.
Yeah,
so it's hard. You can't say
that's
just
why he didn't get his ring until they got a quarterback. Wait, probably going to be there for 10 years.
Who was the quarterback that they had when they went to the Super Bowl in '95?
Neil O'Donnell.
Okay.
That was a fake out.
Yeah.
He played for the other team in that Super Bowl as well.
He did. Yeah. He was their MVP.
I remember.
How many pick sixes?
2. I don't know if they were returned, but
no, I think there was 2 returned.
Well, so much for the Patriots not rising to the challenge against adversity. All I have to say is they dominated 38-14 over the Chargers. The most telling stat to me was that the Patriots only punted one time throughout the whole game. And yes, Randy Moss is the man to beat on the team. 105 yards and two touchdowns.
Looks like a good
simple defense.
Oh,
cover
yeah.
him.
I know.
Somebody cover him.
Yeah,
we
so
were
many
watching
other guys
it.
Are open though. It yeah. doesn't even matter. You cover he's, Randy. Wes
he's throwing
is open.
To. Yeah. He's throwing. If not to Randy Moss, then he's turning down the field and he's only getting as far as Wes Welker and throwing it to there, who's almost as many catches as Randy Moss. And then after that,
might,
they might
have
exactly
more,
the same.
More,
yeah. And
I
where
think receptions, he has more.
Welker has been catching balls,
he is
man.
Up
six,
the middle.
Six to ten receptions each game, and Randy only had eight one of the games. I know that. So.
My I think Randy Moss had eight in both games, didn't he?
Yeah. yeah. Wes might be past him.
I thought Wes had the same amount of receptions, which is all we're talking about. Had
Wes
the same amount of
two
receptions.
Touchdowns as well, I believe, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was
both,
only
one.
One
in
no,
both
no,
weeks.
One in both, weeks. I have him started. Yeah. He's a third position receiver, but he's starting in my other league.
Oh, I'm starting him this week.
They don't even make it. I was sad because he didn't make it as far as Dante Stallworth when he was checking out his receivers.
His checkdown doesn't need to. That's the
problem.
No, nothing happened to
Dante. It's nothing. He's on the too far on the opposite side of the field. Starts at Randy Moss. He's been open 9 times out of 10. When he's not open, he goes to Wes
Welker.
What's
actually weird about that is Brady's a righty.
Yeah.
So you would think that the first person he would see is Dante because he's dropping back and your right shoulder is to your back, to the back.
Well, no. I mean, if he's doing a – if he's
– Yeah, but if the natural drop back would take the is your head would naturally go that way, but you're trained to look forward. So you would think he'd be able to see him, but – Why look anywhere
no, but,
else?
But Randy Moss is on the right-hand side.
Randy Moss has lined up on both.
He's lined up on both, but most of the times that I saw Sunday night,
okay.
he was on the left.
Randy Moss was on the left.
You mean or on the right. He's switching up pretty
a
lot.
Oh, because I saw him on
but
the
no
left.
Matter which side he's starting on, that's the side that gets looked at first, and then it's just – and would anybody do anything different?
No, I wouldn't. And, and Dante Stallworth is probably not even going to complain when he gets some bling on his finger that he was never going to get, you know, elsewhere. And
yeah.
I mean, he never was the guy who was loud, so I don't know if he's one of the guys who's going to end up being me.
No,
but
I doubt it. I doubt it. He wasn't
if
like that.
If it's in the best interest of the club and if he cares at all about getting a Super Bowl in his life, let Randy Moss get the balls because when they do finally double cover Randy, well, and he doesn't burn them, Dante Stallworth will be in single coverage, which every receiver prays for.
Yeah.
Because
yep. right.
supposedly a receiver is able to beat a DB. That's what the NFL's about in single coverage. Supposedly.
Yeah. Well, the Broncos won on a last-minute field goal for the second
Again.
Straight week Boom. In their 23-20 victory over the Raiders. This contest was decided by the running back position, with Lamont Jordan having 159 yards, Travis Henry 128.
That'll never happen again. Lamont Jordan will never get that again.
That's not true.
That's
He's
not
good.
True. If they play the Cleveland Browns or the
Cleveland
Cincinnati Bengals.
They play Cleveland this week.
Yeah.
Tough pick.
He might get more.
I don't know.
I
almost
want
to go pick him up.
Yeah.
Fantasy-wise. Oh, I said almost. I feel almost about everybody.
The Ravens started to turn their season around with the 20-13 victory over the Jets. Willis McGahee had his best game so far with over 100 yards in total offense, along with a touchdown.
You say turn around, but I feel like they should have beat him worse than that.
They should have.
Yeah,
the Jets,
but they've had a lot of injuries.
Bad. Yes, well, yeah.
The Ravens have suffered a lot,
especially on defense. They've lost a bunch of people. So for them to be able to, you know,
it's cool. I'm just saying they'll have some more trouble if they keep playing at that level that they're playing right now. It's not sexy. It's not a sexy level. They're gonna probably beat Arizona again this week, but there'll be games where it's gonna be like
yeah.
your defense might not win this one.
And finally, with another boring Monday Night Football game, and at least in my opinion. The Redskins looked good while Donovan looked bad in their 20-12 loss. Jason Campbell had a good, hardly any mistakes performance, and the Eagles are in trouble.
Yes.
Big trouble.
Yes,
because
even
Westbrook was
Campbell threw a pick.
Westbrook didn't
in
practice in Wednesday, on Wednesday.
A lot of guys didn't practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, but that's the key to – that's normally the first – you look at that to tell if they're going to be – playing the next week, and if you don't practice, it puts
Brian Westbrook's their best player, so that's a problem.
Yeah,
47% of their offense. That's what the stat
in the first two seasons.
In the first two games,
and the only good part about the offense.
That's fine. That's a higher percentage than Larry Johnson was of the Kansas last year. We did that. You had that question.
Yeah, it was
he was like 44 or 45. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, that's it for the scoreboard.
All right, so
stay tuned to next week.
Let's go ahead and move on into our news and just general what we're going to talk about. Let's go ahead and get into the first topic before we start hitting some of these news stories, but let's talk about Donovan McNabb and what's going on in Philadelphia.
He's done.
I mean, it,
oh,
all right, first up, he's 10 months off of a drastic knee injury. He blew out his ACL in his right knee. That's a year to 18-month recovery, and this injury happened 10 months ago. So, first, you got to give hats off to him for coming back and playing, but he shouldn't be playing.
I give him all the credit, but, yeah, I think he's done.
I don't know.
I don't think he's done. I can't say he's done.
He's not done because, I mean, when we were watching the game on Monday, his receivers were dropping a lot of balls.
Dropping stuff, but his throws.
Mean, okay,
not
those
everything.
Are the, not in the first half, which is I watched most of the first half and stopped watching a little bit. I caught the end of the third quarter, whatever. But in the first half, he had wide open guys, and he overthrew every single one of them.
He overthrew and underthrew
every single one of his throws in the first half.
I'm going to be on the other side of what you and Reggie are saying. I think it's fine that he's in right now. You said you saw him limping a lot. I didn't see him limping a lot. He seemed fine. I saw him get caught from behind, but I've seen plenty of guys get caught from behind from defensive ends.
But you don't see Donovan McNabb get caught from behind.
Well,
he's also
been in the league now. Is his eighth season. I mean, you're talking.
Exactly. Well, he's 30 years old. He's not going to be able to bounce back from these injuries anymore like that.
The past 3 years, he's had an injury that kept him for the whole season out pretty much.
Well, he's played in a small percentage of the game. Yeah. Right. Years. But last year he played the first eight or something like that, or first seven.
And then the year before that,
Eagles, I believe, have lost six of the last seven games when McNabb is starting.
They have.
Yep.
Something is happening there, and that was before his injury. But right now, just from what I could tell from the Monday night game and the clips of week one that I saw when I was at the bar and watching a little bit of that, he looks and reminds me exactly how Ben Roethlisberger looked last year when he came back too early in that injury.
I'm wondering if the offense is just now starting to fizzle out, that they haven't really picked up enough young.
They've never had a good receiver over there, with the exception of Terrell Owens.
Right. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Stallworth, I suppose, was
but
a good guy
out,
there, but
James
he was
Thrash
out.
Was like
he
the
was
number one receiver
so
for a couple of years.
They really have had a receiver problem for him.
It's hard to say that, though, because Andy Reid throws 60% of his offensive plays, or almost 60% of his plays.
But
and a lot of it, the receivers, they're not standout, but they do get a lot of the they work in that system.
I think more of those passes went to Westbrook than any other receiver, though.
Still, just even from last night's game, his receivers were open on a lot of throws that he missed.
Oh, he missed a lot of throws. He's trigger happy right now. He's under the gun, literally press wise. He's got a whole lot of other crap that's going on in the press that's kind of unnecessary. And he's always been on the hot seat in Philly. It's like even when he was good, they were always like, "What's going to happen next? What's the bad?"
And that's the curse of being a quarterback or a player at all in Philly is that this crowd doesn't care. They're going to cheer when Michael Irving is broken on the field. They threw beer bottles at Santa Claus.
They booed every incompletion that he was throwing. It was awful.
And the problem is, I feel bad for McNabb because it's not his fault. It's Andy Reid's fault. I hate Andy Reid as a coach.
He's horrible.
Everyone gives him this, mastermind that, he took him to all those NFC championships and he's been great for them.
Do you know why they made that? Because of personnel.
Right. And that's because of Donovan McNabb, the defense that they had, and all those players, all those key players. The NFL is, more than anything, it's a personnel league. If you've got the good players,
you're going to go the distance.
You're going to perform really well, especially
awesome.
When you're beating up on NFC teams, which have been
much weaker than the
AFC.
If Romeo Crennel was coaching this year's Patriots, we'd all think he was smart. But because he's coaching Derek Anderson and the Browns, we're like, Romeo Crennel's an idiot, right?
There is something to be said for instilling, doing the game plans and stuff like that.
Oh, for sure. But you know what I'm saying? He doesn't have the – I'm agreeing with you. Andy Reid gets his credit from Donovan McNabb. And it's so weird that relationship now got so tarnished since the draft.
Yeah.
And you can almost get the sense that Donovan is playing for his job right now. He's playing because he doesn't want to get supplanted. It's like – because then what happens? But I think he would get immediately signed.
He would get snatched up on any other team.
And it would be better than a Byron contract,
too. He would come back. I think if he could recoup this year and come – I think if they had kept Jeff Garcia, the Eagles fucked up by not having a backup plan.
I don't know what that
McNabb
was about.
McNabb is not healthy at all to go, and they have no other options.
Garcia
they're not
really
going to hand it
well.
To a rookie, and they're not going to hand it to A.J. Feely.
Why did they get rid of him?
Because they're stupid. Garcia is a good – he's not a bad quarterback.
No, it's not.
Wasn't it a contract year? He probably wanted
– No, I mean, he became free agent.
That might have been it, but like – just where your game plan is at, because if you're what we're thinking maybe a good coach would be like, which is apparently not what Andy Reid is, you saw how your season went. You saw that Garcia got you there. They got to the playoffs, everything like that. Yeah, you lost, whatever. But McNabb is your boy, and you know that. It's that situation, like, we've got our starter. When he's healthy, we're putting him in. Like what Kansas City did.
Exactly.
Even though Clard last year did really well, when Green came back, they fucking threw it all away just to give it to Green. So when McNabb was ready, they should have, but that should have transcended all the way through, because as you said, if the injury is a 12 to 18 month injury, they should have game planned for that personnel wise.
And it's
Let's
not,
give Garcia
it's
the
different.
4 million or whatever.
I think he had a similar injury that he was able to come back earlier in his career. He's
right.
30 years old. I'm sorry.
No,
he's not old. He's in great shape,
but you don't
recover from a devastating injury
yeah.
like that
well,
so quickly.
He can't even run the same way. I mean, I watched him run.
He's
getting
caught from behind.
I know.
Every time. He was holding onto the ball too long.
I don't know
he was
if he's
afraid
as fast
to run.
Anymore, though.
He's not as fast.
No.
He's definitely lost a step. And it's gotten to the point where the team was, according to the announcing on Monday Night Football, the team has made a request to him to take off his knee brace.
Why would you? If he needs a knee brace,
him to get injured so they could put in Kevin Kolb and the fans won't destroy them.
Just retarded.
I mean, Philly's got issues right now that are deeper than just McNabb's knee problem. They drafted a quarterback for some odd reason, and what all that did
that
is have mess up his confidence.
Yeah.
All that did to Donovan McNabb, he could sing a song all day that said that he didn't care, and he actually did say he did care. So we know that.
The problem is though, if we're looking at it for. You got to look at it two different ways almost, as, you know, looking at it from Donovan McNabb's perspective and looking at it from the football team's perspective. They had to go out and get a quarterback, either in free agency or drafting from the, or getting from the draft, because you know that no matter what, McNabb's not going to be around forever. He's pushing up in years. He's only got a couple of good years left, if that, now with this injury. So, they had to go and get somebody, and might as well
I suppose
get
they
somebody
could have
in
told
the,
him or something.
But you know,
there could have been better ways to handle it.
But if you know McNabb's is on his way out, still keep Jeff Garcia as your backup, and then get that rookie and have him start working.
Well,
his
that's
way
the part
up.
Where we can all say that Philly messed up. The Jeff Garcia thing. They let Tampa Bay get away with the steal.
It's
and who knows what's going to happen
it's
there.
The same thing with the
they
Houston
beat the Saints,
and the Falcons.
Who knows?
Well,
Falcons
bottom line,
good quarterback.
The bottom line is the Eagles are in trouble. They are they are in danger of going 0-3 with the loss to the Lions this week.
Okay.
McNabb is, I'm just going to say, he's not ready to play. He shouldn't be playing right now. He should be resting on the sideline.
I guess you're right.
Getting his game back. And because the Philly fans would be waiting for him to come back whenever he did get healthy. But maybe this is the best thing for Donovan. He needs to get out of that city. If he can't take it anymore, he needs to get out of that city, and now he could probably go to a lot of other teams
Minnesota?
And start right away. Minnesota,
if he went there,
maybe. Who knows?
They just
we'll
made a $7 million commitment to Byron Leftwich.
Only for 2 years, and they can cut him.
I know.
Cut him in a heartbeat, but like
McNabb's
available.
McNabb would be probably one of the big free agents of our offensive free agents. We haven't seen a huge guy move around lately. For offense that I can think of, a premier quarterback or running back. I mean,
I don't know. There was
the
Drew Brees and Dante Culpepper. They were the two big ones.
Culpepper wasn't premier at that point.
At the time, though, there was question of because he was coming off of a really good year.
I'll give you Brees that he was the
and
big
Brees,
free agent.
And both of them they were big with question marks.
When he went to
he had his
Miami?
Career year and then had a couple of games and got injured.
Yeah, so he was on that injury year. I don't count that one. The Brees one. That
but I'm saying there was question
year.
Marks on both, and both of them were expected to go and turn around their respective teams.
Yeah.
One did, one did not. But there have been
a
couple
Brees
of offensive.
Shoulder, right?
Randy Moss, of his free agency moving around. There's been a couple of premier ones, just not.
I suppose, but I guess he's going to be a big money guy, whereas Moss's last one was not a big money one. It was a situational one. McNabb's going to garner a certain amount of, because quarterback's also one of the higher paid positions anyway. Quarterback and, like, apparently O-line.
Yeah. Okay, we spoke about this a little bit ago, probably back towards the beginning of the season. We talked about Larry Johnson and how he had so many carries, and there was a saying, you know, if you carry too many times and there was a certain number, then your production really drops off the following year. Well, a website called Football Outsiders, they've done research, they went back and they looked at statistics and they did studies, and they came up with what they called Curse of 370. And they define the curse of 370 as a running back with 370 or more carries during the regular season will usually suffer either a major injury or loss of effectiveness the following year, unless he is named Eric Dickerson.
Examples. The rule actually says that?
Yeah, that is the definition.
Dickerson was a, come on, I mean, he's one of the top, yeah, what, five of all time?
Recent examples of this phenomenon, if you want to call it that, is Terrell Davis. He had a couple of big years, and then he stubbed his toe and never came back. Eddie George, same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Huge
yeah.
production, stubbed his toe. Curtis Martin was consistent for a while and then had that one big year and was never the same. Jamal Lewis.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Ricky Williams.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's for sure.
Natrone Means, and even Earl Campbell, who was in the Hall of Fame.
All right. But
well, Campbell had several years of production, though.
But this is the 370 carry.
It's when you cover seven.
You
over
can handicap
it's when
some
you go,
of that, because, like, Ricky Williams, that might be for other reasons.
But didn't
why
LJ do it
yeah,
2 years in a row?
Hands.
2 years in a row, LJ
but
did.
Not, it's not the number of yards, it's the number of carries.
Well, I know that, but I thought he was over 370 both years.
I don't think so, but
last year he was over 400.
Yeah.
Wait, which one are we talking about?
LJ.
Larry Johnson. Last year he
Larry
was over 400.
All right, I was about to get
the
in.
Year before.
I don't think
I
he was over.
He was in the high count as well. Maybe not. Was that because Priest was?
I don't
out.
Think so.
Hold on.
Cuba
That's
can go
an
look.
Easy one. You can
but
just
last
look at his
year,
career stats. It's simple.
Last year, Larry Johnson was the only player, the only running back to have over 370 carries. He shattered that 400 number.
400 something. It was.
And this year, through two games, he's got 98 yards, no touchdowns, and he's tied for 29th in the league in rushing. So,
wow.
We'll have to keep an eye on the curse.
Said?
98 yards, 29th
oh,
in rushing.
Oh, 29th. I was like, wow.
They don't even count
do.
That many.
Yeah.
How like, is
that,
he?
Yeah. How can you be that low?
Yeah, but who have they played? Chicago, and what was their first week team against?
I don't
Houston.
Was it
Houston.
Houston.
Yeah, it was Houston.
And now they're up against Minnesota, who's shown really good
prowess.
It's
just something to keep an eye out. Just something to keep an eye on.
Oh, I think it's legit. When a guy gets that much use,
he's on my
you know,
bench.
It's your knees, it's your shoulders, it's your joint, your hips. I mean, it's
and you can't get hit that many times.
Yeah, well, you
and
can,
hold
and
up,
and you can't be as good.
Oh yeah, have you found if
you
he was able
name.
To?
336 in 2005,
and then 2006 it was the 412 or
416.
So that was.
Okay.
Wow. So it's a 1 year turnaround. You go over 370. So you think there's any coaches out there who are like week 15, week 16, my guy's like 350 touches.
The reason why I found that, that information was I was reading an article from the Pittsburgh Post Gazette. They were talking with Tomlin and head coach Mike Tomlin, and he was saying basically that he's going to ride Willie Parker until the wheels come off. He gets better after every touch. So coaches probably don't care as much about this number. I doubt it's going to be. And even Herm Edwards said that, you know, when Larry Johnson gets too many touches, when he gets up to the 20 touch mark, he's going to turn to the audience and there's going to be a big, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down whether or not Larry Johnson should keep playing or not. So we'll have to see. I don't think coaches are going to put too much stock into that, but it's an interesting phenomenon that's gone on over the years.
Yeah.
Well,
moving on from one running back that's seen some bad production to a couple other ones. The question here is, will we ever see any more players voluntarily skip out of preseason games?
Yes, we will.
I think so.
Yeah.
Is it a good idea? No.
Well, here's...
Yes, we will.
Here's why I think that the trend might be going away, because this was an up year on the trend, and pretty much every single player that voluntarily skipped the preseason games, they were at training,
right,
but they didn't do the games.
Steven
Jackson and LaDainian Tomlinson are the main two. Their production is in the crap. LT is actually
LJ also didn't play.
Well,
but he was on a holdout.
Signed.
It's a little bit different.
But I mean, if you're just making an argument, maybe preseason matters, and it does.
Oh,
matter.
Everyone. No, I don't think anyone didn't argue that preseason doesn't matter
people,
to an extent.
Some people say that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, people just like let's just jump into the
I
season.
Still think people will do it because it's who did good last year. It's that's who's going to hold it. That's who's not going to play in the preseason. It's whoever gets coveted the most.
But coaches have the final say in this.
Well, I would hope
if any coach is going to sit there and go, okay, well, look, LT's averaging, what, 1.9 yards a carry?
Yes.
He's got 68 yards on the season through two games.
Hey, I think if Peyton Manning takes snaps in preseason, everybody should take snaps in preseason. He's clearly the number one player
in the
league.
He's the benchmark.
It takes a little bit of time to work yourself up. I truly think that this trend is done. It's on its way out. I think there might be one or two people that are going to go to training camp and not do the tryouts. But I think if a player is actually going to have that mindset of, I do not want to go to preseason, like Clinton Portis, like, I don't want to get hurt, they're probably going to pull a Michael Strahan and just not report to camp and get their fines. So
I just think people still will skip.
Yeah.
I don't know if the trend is over. I would really like to not see LT or Steven Jackson or any of those big guys do it, but you know they're going to do what they want to do, and their coaches are going to probably be okay with it. I mean, and unfortunately, we're seeing it more this year than ever before because it's been so available for everyone to know. You see LT on the sideline in plain clothes. You see him not getting the touches, and then you see him in week one where he looks so un-Ladanian, it's not even funny. He's not breaking out. He's not pushing through. He's not even using his stiff arm anymore. It's just...
And you can kind of point at the two games saying, okay, yeah, LT played against the Bears defense, who's got the best defense in the NFL. He went up against the Patriots. You could say that it's a lack of Phillip Rivers is not playing well at all. You can say there's no receivers on that team to stretch the field.
Yeah,
but
like
then you look at the other teams, the other players, namely Steven Jackson, who doesn't have that excuse.
Well, he's got a good one too, though. Orlando Pace is gone.
But he also performed much better when Orlando Pace wasn't there last year.
He
got a bulk of his carries and yards and stuff when Orlando Pace was not there.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that it's going to be a true...
No, I'm just saying.
It's really going to affect his stats. I mean, yeah, you can say, okay, he lost his left tackle.
If week five rolls around and both of them run for 150 and two touchdowns, we'll know they needed those four games of buffer.
Yep.
We'll know. We'll be like, okay... They just needed to get in football shape because they were in training football camp shape. They weren't in football game shape.
Which is a whole different mindset.
It is different. All the players say that when you're playing a game, it's different.
It's a whole psyche.
You know, it's a three-hour thing. I mean, even though your plays are only an average of, what, 4.5 to 6.5 seconds or something like that, or 8 seconds, whatever it is, you got to get in football shape. You got to get in football game shape. And LT and Steven Jackson?
They aren't there. Yeah, they're not there yet.
And let's move from players that I thought were going to be fine at the start of the season to that are now struggling to a player that I thought was going to struggle out of the gates a little bit to who is dominating, and that's Randy Moss. He didn't play any preseason because of a hamstring injury, which is normally bad news for receivers.
Oh, yeah.
He looks faster than I've seen him in years, maybe as fast as I've ever seen him.
With the exception of his rookie and sophomore year where he was so fast.
But he's burning by nobody's gone hung up with him.
He toasted that first week secondary. I can't remember who that was, but
The Jets.
Yeah, the Jets. When he had that one cross pattern.
It is sick what he is doing. It doesn't look like anybody's covering them. That's how bad he's beating these guys.
Reminds you of Sandlot football where kid is
who's
just
wearing
faster.
Cleats and nobody else is.
Nobody else has cleats
on. It's just cutting and making the moves. He is out there
he's
on
Asa.
A different speed. Yeah,
Asa. Or Ryan.
Yeah.
Or Ryan.
Yeah, I remember.
When Ryan brought his cleats.
Going back to our days in the Sandlot.
Yeah.
Fucking bastards.
Okay, so let me ask you guys.
I caught them when I was in college. When I started working out, I caught them.
Randy Moss, historically, always starts off strong on any new team. He started off huge with the Vikings. He started off huge with the Raiders. We all know what he's done with the Patriots. But we all know what happened at the end of his career in those two cities. Do you think what we are seeing now is the real Moss, that he's bought into the Patriots philosophy and this is the way he's going to be from now on that team?
You know what?
Or do you think the real, quote-unquote, real Moss is going to show his face?
You know what? I think for the simple fact that he goes, I just might get a ring. I don't think he really cares. And I don't think Belichick's going to put up with his bullshit anyway. I mean, he's not the type to take bullshit from any player.
I mean, I think this is the real Randy Moss that we're going to be seeing, because if the Patriots have a history of taking players from other teams and making them better, making them look really, really good, and he doesn't have anything to complain about.
No.
He's getting thrown to all the time.
All the time. He's burnt. Oh, it's
and,
sickening.
And they they've gone up against somewhat decent teams. Like, wait till he gets to go up against, like, a Cleveland or something like that.
No,
like, it's
going
to be funny.
He's going to be too open that Tom's going to look at him, shake his head, be like, next time, and then throw the Welker underneath.
Yeah.
They're going to communicate. They'll be like, no, because
he'll underhand it to the defensive line and
be like here you go.
I'm sorry, we're beating you 200 to nothing.
Yeah, I had a lot of touchdowns last week. I'm just going to give you this one. No, I mean, I don't think his stat lines are going to stay like this with 180 yards a game.
I think
or
it's
whatever.
Unreasonable to expect.
Correct.
That he's going to stay on this pace.
I do think.
I'm talking more attitude wise,
and I think that the attitude you're seeing is a product of that team. That team's got a good thing going because Belichick keeps even with the cheating bullshit, he clearly keeps his team under control.
Yeah.
He clearly keeps those guys in order. some sort of, he runs a tight ship, whatever well, it is, and he's got a great leader quarterback.
He beats them in the locker room.
I don't care what he does well, because
it works.
He got yeah, the respect. He has the respect of the players. When I he had the respect of the players, they're going to do what you want.
And I think there are, there can go weeks by where Randy Moss doesn't get all the balls, and I think he'll be fine as long as they're W's. And that team is winning, and he is that much closer to all he wants. His if he gets his ring, he then gets into that circle of wide receivers that he deserves to be in for those couple of years and then doesn't for the Oakland years. So if he can get back into some of that, he gets back in that conversation of some of the best wide receivers of all time.
Sorry.
Just to get this stuff, Miami's up 24-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
The U, baby.
Over Texas A&M.
Well, it's a good game for them. Hey, they need to win this game. They need to win this game.
Okay, so I hope that this is the real Randy Moss. I've never really been, I've always liked him as a receiver, but I've always just really hated almost the person behind him. And I am actually buying into Randy Moss stock right now. I hope that this is the real player and that this is going to be the guy that's going to be there for a couple years. And it, as much as I would hate to see it on a day where they're playing the Steelers, and I don't want to see them go and run the table and go 16-0 and then sweep the playoffs and win the championship. I don't want to see that. I'd rather them lose a game or two along the way and make it almost interesting.
Me too.
But it's fun to watch Randy Moss run free.
Yeah, it is.
And that's and in the end, sometimes when you're watching games, that's all that matters.
And even the plays where he's not running free, the one that I thought was so funny is that it was the second play of that game. He ran the 5 yard because they're giving him a 15 yard push,
which is according to all the announcers,
stupid.
Not how you defend him.
Yeah. No, it's not. But because they were giving him that, he ran the 5 yard out and then caught it while falling backwards out of bounds. Like just a very good technical sound play.
Yeah.
It was that kind of stuff where I'm like, Randy Moss knows how to play football. Just throw him the ball, he'll make that happen for you. It's just a stupid defender who is giving him more yard.
And that
one play, the San Diego defensive coordinator, whoever, when Randy Moss is lined up in the slot and you don't have the safety cover.
How do you lose him?
They didn't lose him. They didn't acknowledge that he was in the slot. I don't even think they lost him. They're like, okay, there's a black guy in the slot.
I think
that's what I'm saying. Like, how do you lose track of where Randy Moss is on the field that he can just burn by you and be like, oh, I'm not going to cover this guy because he's in the slot. Yeah. I got to look over
like
here.
I feel like that offensive formation was for just a first down. And then when they read that, he must have looked over and like winked. Said, do you see?
And it's,
do you see that you have you and that safety who is afraid?
And that's who's it. Already got water trickling down his leg.
He's 5'9". You're 6'3".
Yeah.
Go get it. And then he threw it on a rope right to his hands, too.
Yeah.
And the pass was so sick. That the one I'm talking about when Randy was coming out of the
right
slot.
Right down the left side.
Oh, it was
right.
And the defenders were there, but they, like, missed it. The big whiff, you know. He didn't put it up. He was like, boom,
the silly
like a
thing
beam.
Is, Randy Moss is the type of guy, especially after week one, where you go, okay, I have to focus on playing Randy Moss. And every single pass route that was thrown at him, the defender was looking in the backfield.
Maybe they're all
you could
scared,
see on the replay
though.
That they all jumped the route a little bit or just forgot about him and he ran right by him. It's sick, but it's fun to watch.
Yeah. They're hoping that he's that hamstring injury will come back so that
it's gone. he would already if he's suffering from a hamstring injury now, oh my god.
He looks fine.
Yeah.
He looks fine.
Wait till he's
healthy. I think the defensive coordinators are actually kind of scared because the second you double him,
that leaves two.
You got a lot of other problems on that offense right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do, but I think the main thing is you need to make those receivers. You got to find a way to stop.
Nobody cares that
Maroney's
not
even getting
well.
Any yards because he doesn't need to. He's a.
Yeah.
Nobody cares that Maroney's not doing well. Belichick doesn't care. Brady doesn't care. Brady's
is it
thrown,
even that he's not doing well? Who cares?
Sammy Morris is doing good.
Sammy Morris is doing good.
Brady's producing 300 yards a game. It doesn't matter.
It's sick.
It doesn't matter what's going on. What's so depressing from if you enjoy defense or respect defense is if you see
that. Don't watch a Patriot game.
Don't.
Unless you want to root for the Patriots defense.
Well, yeah, sure. Because Brady is going to pick apart good secondaries this year. I mark my words. He's going to play good secondaries. He's going to pick them apart because there's two, as I said before, a one receiver to a one DB. Receivers are going to win that battle more often than not. Unless you're playing Denver, and I saw Dre Bly get smoked, by the way. But unless you're playing.
Yeah.
Oh,
he did. It was bad.
It wasn't good. it was disgusting. The receivers are going to win. So if you line up Randy Moss, Wes Welker, and Dante Stallworth against the three cornerbacks and those two scared safeties, good luck. One of them's one-on-one. One of them is one-on-one,
yeah.
And if Brady can find him, that receiver's winning.
And last thing on the Patriots, I mean, we've yet to actually see a team put pressure on Brady. Maybe that's going to, maybe if a team can finally find a way to put the pass rush on Brady.
Let me tell you why that's not going to happen.
Let Brady, well, it's not going to happen this week.
I'm telling you why it's not going to happen. Brady let the O-line in on one of his commercials and got them money that they were never going to get. And they like him in a different way. Because when you pat a guy's pockets, Were those O-lines ever going to get anything in life other than be an O-lineman?
No.
Maybe he lets them come to a Tom Brady party, because I feel like Tom Brady has Tom Brady parties, but Giselle has her model friends. Those guys are not going to let him get dirty. Think about it.
Maybe got sacked once or twice.
They're probably in man love.
It's gross.
Wouldn't you be?
Hey, they're gonna ride him all the way to a ring if they can.
Well, some of them already did. Many of them were still there. Yeah.
All right. Great news coming out of Buffalo, not for the Bills, but for Kevin Everett. He's the tight end that suffered that catastrophic injury. Doctor said he originally wasn't going to walk.
In weeks.
Now they're saying that he's going to walk in a matter of weeks or even days.
That's great.
So great news for him.
That's amazing.
It's truly amazing. They say he's getting better every day. He's gaining strength in his legs. When we were talking last week, they said he couldn't even move his hands. Now he's getting feeling back in his hands. He can get motion. They're going to stand him up. And when they say walk, they really mean he's going to be able to stand up and move a couple inches under his own power. But, hey that's a lot better than what they thought
injury?
He was.
Come on, now that's
and this,
great. That
this came right years. Off. This came right on the heels of him finding out that they were going to be able to transport him by the end of this week, over the weekend. Maybe by the time this goes live, he'll have already be transported to his home state of Texas and probably around the Houston area, which already has him excited. So just all great news.
And that normally takes about years before some guy.
I just hope he doesn't have to pay for
like
any
that.
Of this.
Oh, please.
Oh, he doesn't.
No.
It
happened on the NFL field. So.
There's got to be insurance up the waz. I mean, they must have some ridiculous billion-dollar situations.
Even, I think so. Even the NFL can't argue his football injury.
Yeah.
Well, he's not a retired player, so he's fine right now.
And speaking about the Bills, they played the Steelers. It was the first game back after Kevin Everett's injury. They tried to honor him with their T-shirts underneath their uniforms. They're auctioning that stuff off on eBay. But a kind of a scary thing, especially that happened against the Bills, they had to watch another player injure his neck in the game. This time it was the Steelers outside linebacker, James Harrison.
Is he all right?
He injured his neck at the end of halftime. They had to, you know, strap him down, carry him off in a board, but luckily he was back in midway through the third quarter. He didn't play, but he was walking around on the sideline.
That's
he good. Was okay. What they said, the final official word is that he has a stiff neck, but he's going to play.
Maybe just pulled one of the muscles. Like
he probably did, and you're
there.
Right on the heels of Kevin Everett. You're playing against his old team. You're not taking any chances.
No.
Of moving him, but that had to suck for the Bills. I mean, they just went through all that stuff, and
just
they had
to
look across the field
That's
and see that happening again.
That's an excruciating 20 minutes of football that would happen. Because it's not,
never good. Nobody wants to see that.
No. I actually seen that back in high school, a veto game. Watch that happen.
I remember that game. That was bad.
That kid.
That kid went in and he went in to tackle a guy, but he didn't raise his head.
Or
and,
something, right?
He was paralyzed. He's paralyzed.
Done.
Yeah, but he was like, they were worried.
If they had moved him, he would have died. Hmm. They had to keep him there, airlift him out. That was I sat there and I'm like, he's not getting up after that.
No. Don't lead with the
you
helmet,
never,
guys.
You never lead
Kids
with the
Kids out
helmet.
There listening to Fourth and Goal, don't lead with the helmet.
Shoulder.
Yeah. Shoulder. Although
into somebody else's helmet.
You can get your shit fucked up too.
That's almost how Everett did. He put his shoulder on the guy, but then his helmet got in and y'all just
weird.
It was
and
such
all
you look at it and it's like if you it's not the type of hit that you would expect to see him go down. And you don't you see him go straight down. You know instantly as soon as the hit happens that it's bad.
He collapsed.
But when you look at the replay, it's like you normally can see the head just turn in all types of wrong ways.
Yeah.
And this one, it was like he hit and collapsed.
It was compressed. Like his spine got compressed or something.
Perfect combination. He put his helmet right on the jaw of the other guy and just bad things. But luckily everything seems to be going okay. So let's go ahead and let me ask you guys a question. There's a lot of 2-0 teams in the league, a lot of surprise 2-0 teams. You've got the 49ers, you've got the Texans.
I don't know if the 49ers are as much of a surprise.
I think they are with the way they've played.
And you've got the Lions. Hold on a second. You got the Lions. There's a lot of 2-0 teams that are a shocker. Which one to you guys is the biggest pretender and is going to fall back down to earth this week or in the next coming weeks?
Houston.
Houston?
I don't think so.
Detroit.
For me, it's between Detroit. And the only reason I'm saying Detroit is because if any other decent quarterback was in the lineup for the Minnesota Vikings, they didn't win. They would not have won that game.
Isn't Washington 2-0?
Yes, they are. But Washington
looks changing
good.
My mind, though, because that Detroit offense looks better than the Washington offense to me. I think Detroit's valid. The problem I have with you saying Houston is not the real deal is I kind of think that team is coming along.
Yeah.
They've built a defensive line. They've built some stuff. Matt Schaub's better than David Carr.
That I could agree with.
This week they're going to suffer. Andre Johnson matters.
I think they're on a high right now. They're definitely running on a high after
that
first week.
They've never been 2-0 ever.
Plus, there's another factor. Houston fixed their O-line. They're not letting the QB get sacked
anywhere near as
much as Carr got sacked.
And here's for my pick for the biggest pretender might surprise you guys a little bit. I'm not going with the obvious ones like the Lions because, you know, to be honest, I think the Lions are going to have a good regular season. I think that they play in a weak division. They're in the NFC, which benefits them. They've got an offense that can score against anybody. And if they can get their running game going, they're going to be a hard offense to beat. It's not going to mean anything when they get to the playoffs.
Right.
But I do think that they're going to have a much better season this year. I think the 49ers are struggling, mm-hmm. and they are kind of, their 2-0 is kind of a pretending schedule, but I don't think they're the biggest one. The biggest pretender this year for me right now is the Denver Broncos. They are two plays away from being 0-2. They barely beat Buffalo and had a great Jason Elam coming out, running out and kicking a last-second field goal to beat Buffalo, who is not a good team. They barely beat Oakland. The only reason they beat Oakland is because Mike Shanahan called the perfect freezing timeout, just before the center snapped the ball, and Janikowski drilled it, the first one, but had it called back. And then he kicked, 51-yard kick?
Yeah, it was something like
kicked
that.
Kicked a 51-yard kick off the top of the goalpost. Yeah. The top of the upright. That kick was good from like 70 or 80. It was huge.
65 maybe.
Nah, top of the upright, dude.
It was high, and it dunked.
But was the best timeout I've ever seen.
It was the best timeout, and there was a lot of controversy. A lot of people were saying it was two-time, it was Bush League coaching, whatever. But no. The Oakland Raiders, a lot of the teams said that they heard the whistle and knew it didn't count. Kiffin was on the other side of the field, so he didn't hear it, and that's why he's kind of putting up a stink in the media. Mike Shanahan, basically, what he said was he told the ref, and John Lynch might have actually been the one that leaked this to the media or whatever, but apparently Shanahan called the official over, and he's like, I'm going to call a timeout just as the center raises his head to snap the ball. And Shanahan is the best at freezing kicker, calling the timeout just at the last second.
It's
allowed.
It's
a new rule.
Legal. Yep.
It's a new rule. Past couple of years, perfect play. A lot of people were upset about it, but you know it was a good play. It sucks if you're a Raider fan. Yeah, it does suck. But they had their chances to win that game. They could have won that game if they had a better quarterback than McCown. And they do have a better quarterback to count on that roster.
That's the irony. The statement can clearly be made. If they had a better quarterback than McCown, they'd be winning. Well, they do, but
they just do not put it. And maybe Kiffin knows something that we don't. He did say as much. He's like, I see things you don't.
That is true.
So maybe there's something bad going on with Culpepper.
We see 0-2. That's what
we see. 0-2. But both of those games, they were a play away from winning. They were a play away from winning the Denver game, and they were a bad fumble away from winning the Detroit game.
Yeah. No fumble was worse than that Seattle Seahawks fumble, though, at the end of that game, because they lost that game because of that fumble. Did you see that? There was a miscommunication between Matt Hasselbeck and Sean Alexander.
Oh, that was awful.
Where they held hands.
Like they had never played with each other before.
In their whole lives.
Are you doing?
Sean, it came out that said Sean thought he heard an audible.
That half the team heard what Hasselbeck said, the other half heard something else. So
that's rough. Maybe it was loud or something. It must have been loud, but
and they were the home
man,
team, weren't they?
They were holding hands. And
that sucks.
And I love that once it happened, Matt Hasselbeck was so upset he mounted the defensive player. He jumped on his back because the ball was lost at this point. And it's just so funny because, you know, I think even he knows, I can't do anything. I can't. What am I going to do?
It would have been great if he had broken his hand.
No. I like him
that
fine.
Was just, not great as in, like, it's just irony.
Yeah.
All week they were talking who to blame on that. Was it Sean? Was it Matt? And it's just really...
It's both.
It's miscommunication. No,
it's
kind of
called
the 12th
man finally sucks.
I'm just not sure how you could even flub a handoff that bad because they stood there for a second. And in that time, you'd think one of them would have been like...
You think Hasselbeck would have immediately had that option of this is botched.
Back.
I need to take it and just sit.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the thing that was most surprising. It's because they're both veteran players. I mean, you would expect that out of a rookie or something, but they're both veteran players.
I wouldn't expect Alexander to be like, oh, fuck, give me the ball, give me the ball. Yeah. You expect Hasselbeck to be like, oh, he's not here. You see quarterbacks.
No, he was
the
there.
Handoff gets, but he gets
there,
but no,
it
was like, they put it in the belly, and it was like, they're looking at it like,
well, he put it on his hip, and that was the problem. He pushed it. Alexander came too close. So you got to think Matt Hasselbeck was like, because his hand was already out. It's like, oh,
do you think
no.
Hasselbeck, when he came in and realized it was like awkwardly close, was like, ooh.
What do I do? But that lost the game for them.
It did.
Oh, that's why I was saying.
I wasn't. I forgot about that play, but I did see it. That was awful.
Because they should be 2-0. They're not. Because then they win their first week.
No, they're 0-2, I thought.
Seattle won the first week, I thought.
They're 1-1.
Yeah, they're 1-1.
Oh, okay.
1-1.
Who'd they beat their first week?
Tampa.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they should be 2-0. And then, like, one play. But that team will be fine because I think that NFC West is theirs, so it's not,
okay,
it's
well,
not a problem.
Let's switch up. The other side of this is there are a lot of 0-2 teams. Which one of them... Which 0-2 team is going to turn it around and be a contender?
I don't know.
That's kind of hard to say.
Well,
a contender?
You know, I guess I could say my heart pick on that would be Miami,
well,
but I don't
if
think
you
want to
be wrong.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You're not going to be a contender.
Is there an 0-2 team that can be a contender and make a run at the playoffs?
Yeah, the Saints, because if
they need to start clicking.
Well, if they give Deuce the ball 30 times,
NFC, so.
They'll win the games.
We'll get onto a little bit more with the Saints problem in a couple minutes.
I think that's the
minutes,
only one that's 0-2 that actually could do.
Isn't St. Louis 0-2 as well?
They are, and they're not going anywhere because St. Louis, I forget every year.
That's why I was saying, I was thinking we were talking Seattle, and I was thinking St. Louis.
Oh, every year. Here's the problem with the Rams, and this is every year, and I think it's going to be every year. You look at their paper. And you see
they look good on paper.
Good quarterback rating, good quarterback stats. You see Steven Jackson. You see Torrey Holt. You see Bruce, who's over the hill. You see a lot of things, and you're like, they're gonna win like 10 games. And then you forget they don't have a good defense, and then you forget that Mike Martz left tracks of poop when he left there that are still smelling. And I think it's been the past, 3 years, and including this year, I think the Rams have to hope for 8-8.
Yeah.
And that's really why I don't know if they're – I think the Saints have the potential to win another 9-10-game season because you can rebound from this.
Yeah.
Simply, an 0-2 doesn't condemn you. Now, the way they lost, wow, I want to condemn them because they should be ashamed of themselves, the Saints.
Yes.
How they lost is embarrassing, and who they lost to.
Yeah.
Indy, understandable. Get it. Indy beats you. Indy's going to beat people. New England's going to beat people. New England made San Diego look bad, but San Diego's better than that. But to lose to Tampa Bay and Tampa by that many points and to go scoreless in the first two quarters.
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't think they scored till the second half.
They didn't.
All right, we're going to get into the Saints a little bit more. Do you guys, in a couple minutes, are there any other teams? Because I really can't think of another 0-2 team.
I'm trying to find the standings right now to see who's.
No,
exactly
Atlanta's 0-2.
I mean, the only team that I can really think of.
The Giants are 0-2.
Eagles?
The only team, like, if I had to go out on a limb and say a team that wasn't the Saints, I would have to choose the Jets, but only because I don't think anyone really expected them to win one of these two games. You know, they started off against the Patriots and the Ravens.
Yeah, that's
So they were kind of expected to start out 0-2, but they didn't look good going 0-2. They weren't competitive against the Patriots. And
Thomas Jones isn't even there.
It was more
he's injured.
It was more
badly.
About, crap. It was more the play, I think, of just the Ravens and their ineptitude that kept the score close. So, I mean, if I was pressed to say another team, I would say the Jets, but I really
I don't think any of these 0-2 teams right now are going to crack 8, and I'm going to also stick to that with the Saints. Because these 0-2 teams...
You don't think they're going to crack 500?
They look so bad on offense. Well, I'm so nervous for all... Now, here's the thing. If Peyton gets his mind right and actually gives Deuce the load...
Hold on, don't get into the Saints, because I got we got one more topic we're going to cover. I'm going to get into that in a couple minutes.
I mean, I'm... the last little thing about the Saints is I'm waiting to see what they do at home, because they haven't had a home game yet. And
it's not this week.
We're going to talk about Saints, let's finish up that they go back to the to the Superdome. Let's go ahead, finish up the news, and then we'll go back, because our last topic is about the Saints specifically. So let's see. Tank Johnson went and signed a 2-year deal with the Cowboys.
I heard on the TV that he'll be playing in 6 weeks.
And he will not be able to play until November 11th against the Giants. The reason why it's 6 weeks is because he's already served 2 games of his 8-game suspension.
But he wasn't on a team.
It doesn't matter. It's a suspension from the NFL.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, I thought when we were talking about it originally, it was going to be when he was signed. That's what we were saying, though.
It's 8 games. That's when he can apply for reinstatement. Now, if he keeps out of trouble, I don't see a reason why he wouldn't get reinstated, because he served the suspension that was given to him.
Right.
But assuming that he gets reinstated, November 11th against the Giants will be the first time that he can play and even practice with the team that week.
Yeah, so he probably won't start that week.
So, but they're hurting on the defensive line, they had to play nose tackle. Yeah, they're switching him around. I mean, he's from a 4-3, he's now playing in a 3-4. So it'll be interesting to see how much of an impact, if at all he has, but it at least bolsters a hurting defensive line during crunch time.
Yeah.
That's a good move, I think, for the Cowboys. It was almost too long for him to get swept up.
I think they paid him more than they had to as well.
That's a great pay.
They didn't pay him a lot.
They didn't pay him that much. Well, I don't know the number.
It was like $2 million.
Yeah, but I remember when we were saying all he required was the $300,000.
Oh, for this year,
Well, he's getting prorated. He's getting $2-something.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get paid for the games he misses.
Right. That's still better than what he they could have kept him at the min.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit earlier. Byron Leftwich, it's official now. He signed with the Atlanta Falcons. He signed a 2-year, $7 million deal. Joey Harrington has only led the offense to 10 points during the season, but despite that, Leftwich is the number 3 quarterback on the depth chart.
Right.
Harrington's going to start. Chris Redman is still the number 2, and Leftwich had to switch his jersey numbers because 7 obviously is taken for the Falcons. So he's going to be wearing number 4. tainted. Nice. He's going to be on wearing number 4. He said he was going to switch to 17, but he thought it made him look fat, so he went to a slimmer number of 4. So
I wish that wasn't what he said.
Isn't he said. Still third on the depth chart just because he doesn't know the playbook yet?
Yes.
I would assume
he's been out of football for a couple of weeks. He doesn't know the playbook.
I imagine he will become the starter in 2 to 4 weeks.
I can't imagine a situation where he doesn't.
Yeah.
I just don't.
You don't spend that type
sense.
Of money.
They didn't spend huge money.
Joey
Harrington
starts
throwing like a champ.
It's not going to happen.
I know it's not going to happen. I'm just saying.
Joey Harrington. I can imagine.
Yeah.
Wow, you let me down, Joey. Do you remember when you were on the cover of NCAA 2003 and I liked you a lot and I said you were going to be good?
The NCAA curse.
Yeah.
There was something else I was going to say about the does anybody think that this is a good out of the teams available in the league? It's probably the only one he had a chance of signing with.
Yeah.
Maybe Minnesota, but
not likely.
I like him better on Minnesota than I do
in Atlanta. Him better there because I don't think he matches well with the Falcons.
No.
Because
he can't run.
He can't run.
They
do not have an offensive line.
He says he can run. He's a liar.
Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, he's like...
He's a liar.
I can't believe they didn't rate me as fast and Madden.
I was like, well, that's because you're not.
Because you're a very slow...
You are not fast.
You're
and the best were the comments by the Jaguars coach, Jack Del Rio, and said, like, oh, well, that, I guess that works. it was basically just indifference. Like, I really don't care about that guy.
I don't like him. Must not have liked him.
Terrell Owens had one of my favorite touchdown celebration of the year. And one of my favorites for a while. When he scored a touchdown against Miami, he was mocking the Patriots a little bit and the Spygate and Belichick and all that stuff. He took the ball and he hid behind a goalpost and he was cranking at one of those old style cameras, or mimicking that anyway, with the ball as the camera and pointing it at the Dolphin sideline. Hilarious! If you haven't seen it already, I'm sure everybody.
It was a great celebration.
But the NFL decided, you know, hey, well, we don't like fun. So we're going to fine him $7,500, and they said the reason for it was because he used the ball and the goalpost as props.
Right.
Which apparently, which is illegal.
I get it. It's fine. And what really boggles my mind is the ESPN, which we know sometimes they have weak reporting. one of the sportscasters was saying, "Oh, well, what would a season be without nonsense from Terrell Owens?" I'm like, "Are you kidding? This doesn't count as that, in my opinion. Yeah, when he tries to kill himself with pills or whatever that was, but this doesn't count."
No, this
for
no.
them and to blow this up. It was on the front page of Yahoo. I'm like, these guys are just—they hate T.O.
Even
the media doesn't
even,
like him, and I.
Sean Salisbury
like
from ESPN, who's always like so
funny.
Hard on Terrell Owens, he said this was amazing. He thought it was hilarious,
right.
And he's like, "It's ridiculous that he got fined because he's like, last I saw, you know, he brought the ball into the end zone because it was a touchdown and." You can't use the ball as a prop, but he was holding it. So he thought it was ridiculous, and he's like, "Keep having fun. I don't care if you get fined. Keep doing it."
I don't think T.O. cares either, because $7,500 is a very...
It's as they said on that show, toll money that he keeps in his car.
Yeah.
So it was really ridiculous. And he came out and said a statement. He's like, "I'm so confused on the rules. They, you know, I can't do this. I can't do that. You don't
so
know what's
it,
fun
apparently
anymore."
If he had just stood in the end zone... Oh, no, you can't do that either.
No.
So if he had walked to the sideline...
You could spike
the ball,
but only on
this.
A scoring play.
He would have done the crank. That's what he should have done. He should have held his hand and done the crank.
And nobody would have got it, and it would have made us money.
I'd have got
the
it.
The fact that people would have got, but the fact that he was hiding behind the goalpost
awesome.
With his eyes so wide open.
It was
it
awesome.
It was hysterical.
It was by far funny. The best celebration, and it comes close to, the Dirty Bird of the old, the Chad Johnson, no, not Chad Johnson, the Steve Smith, rowing in the canoe.
That is
awesome.
My favorite. This one jumped to, I think, number two, because my top one was Steve Smith.
No, it was he was going
he
really
was,
fast.
He was rowing, and then he turned around and saw the defense and rowed even faster. And I thought that one was hysterical. The other one was, I forget who did it, but they were changing the ball like it was a baby.
Yeah.
And they were changing its diaper. And then this one probably is number two behind Steve Smith to me.
Oh, I liked Riverdance as well. Chad Johnson's Riverdance was cool.
It was not. It's not to me the iconic. Like every time I see those, I laugh.
Right. Oh, the boat.
The boat.
The boat. I laugh
the boat
every time.
Boat paddling was probably the best. And Steve Smith, a little guy, so I really is it, he's 5'9", right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's
a small receiver.
And oh, is he one of the best right now?
All
right.
Now let's go ahead and wrap up this conversation about the Saints. What's going on with them? Their offense is weak. Do you guys have any?
It's a simple solution. Last year, you let Deuce run the
Fire
ball at least 20. No, it's not it.
Kidding.
It's last year you let Deuce run the tempo of your offense. That's awesome because what you got your big bruiser who actually tires the defense out. Now I like Reggie Bush, and I mean I'm high on him and everything like that, but he is not going to tire the defense out because he is small and quick and doesn't pose any threat unless he gets an open space.
And he's actually making mistakes.
That's correct. But
and it's kind of shocking. Like I'm not the type of guy that says Reggie Bush is the next savior. I think he can be a great player in the league. But
he's not ready for that.
He had a good
half
season.
He's not ready for that big step.
No, but he'd be just as effective as he was if Deuce was getting his touches.
And
because Deuce,
he's actually got more touches
than
Deuce McAllister rushing through these first two games, and that should not happen.
They're calling Deuce the starter, and they're treating Reggie like the starter, and it's really bad for their game plan. It's messing up Drew Brees too because he's having to throw more because they're from behind.
Yeah.
So you're screwing up every bit.
And their defense is awful.
Yeah. Their defense was bad last year too,
but it.
Well, it's even worse.
It wasn't even as bad
as
this time.
I understand that.
Because they took some of the bad players from the Colts and brought them over.
Right. I understand. Yeah, they did. They got Nick Harper and so didn't
Nick Harper wasn't that. What was that guy's name? That one that was getting burned opening week for four touchdowns. Right. Something.
Nick Harper wasn't that great anyway.
No, nah, well, not after his wife stabbed him, got us a Super Bowl. Thank you.
Yeah,
the tackle.
She
I have a pin that
she
shows.
She was a Steeler
it.
Fan.
I have a pin that shows Ben Roethlisberger grabbing his ankle and says the tackle with the date on it.
It's up there with the Immaculate Reception as most important Steeler plays in the past 25 years or whatever.
It's great.
But the Saints' problem is I believe firmly it boils down to give Deuce his 25 touches to 30. Reggie will get the ball probably somewhere between 12 and 18 times. And what you're going to get out of Deuce is you're going to get that 80 to 100 yards, which is great. That's what you need out of your premier running back. And
you
out of Reggie.
Ball control.
Yeah, exactly. You got the clock time on your side. You got Drew Brees getting third and short instead of third and 20.
Yeah.
You got, I mean, you just got to, because Reggie Bush on first down is losing
not,
four
he's
yards.
Not doing
so you
well.
Need to run Deuce McAllister, who doesn't lose yards.
And Bush isn't the type of guy that's going to run between the tackles and get you consistent yardage.
No.
He needs to really,
he's
you
fast.
Need to have him in almost with McAllister in the backfield, so they have to protect the run, but then Bush can slip out to the flats, or can run, or can line up in a slot position even, and run.
They did that last year, and it was great. They ran him up as a split back. He was coming out of the backfield, catching 8-yard passes, trying to make moves, and going, they'd become like 4-yard passes because he'd make a move and fail. He failed last year at all that shit too.
Yeah.
But they got, you need to have a successful offense for Reggie Bush to matter. Reggie Bush doesn't matter on a bad offense because he won't do anything because the defense can put one guy on him.
And that's it.
And it's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You need an offense where you've got people coming out, and it's not because Joe Horn left that they're suffering.
No.
It's that they're not running enough, and they're giving the ball to the wrong person.
They're putting too much emphasis on Reggie Bush right now. They think that they think second year, all right, he's going to have a breakout year.
No, he's not going to have a breakout year.
He can't.
He can maybe in 4 or 5 years if he realizes what he is, which is he's more of a work done type guy.
Yeah.
But Dunn always had a better line than New Orleans.
Yeah. Yeah. And the threat of either Allstott, Mike Allstott when
back
he was
in
Tampa,
old days.
He was making a name for himself.
Or
and
Mike
then
Vick.
When he went to the Falcons where he always had Mike Vick as a threat.
That was probably the easiest place to run for a while with the exception of Denver. In Atlanta when Mike Vick
I wouldn't say it was easy to run Denver because those guys died.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them.
When they were in Denver though. It was fine for them
to run. Yeah, they had great success.
That's what I mean. They were successful in
I was just saying, I don't know if it's easy, because none of them went on to do any. They all had short bursts of amazing.
Clinton Portis is their guy in Washington. And
yeah, but his production is half of what it was.
They like Tana Bell. I know that.
Average-wise.
I know. Mike Shanahan kills them, I think. He probably cortisone shoots them up all day.
I think he just takes like some of their hair and bodies, like DNA when they leave and voodoo shit.
I think they get injured, and he cortisones them to running. And then when they get out of there, their fucking cartilage is gone because
dead.
That's what cortisone shots do.
Yep. Yeah.
Saints just need to run a little bit more. Deuce got like 10 touches last game or something like that, and you're never going to win.
And I think I saw a stat, they're 0-4 if he doesn't get at 10 touches, more than 10 touches.
Yeah.
And he got 10 last game, and they lost bad. He needs to get the ball.
That's
and the defense needs to
The receivers are there.
The defense needs to pretend to show up at some point. Yeah. You can't let teams like Tampa Bay put up 30 points on you.
No.
You can't do that and expect to win a game.
The Colts proved last year that your defense can phone it in for 16 games, and you'll be fine. If you can the Indianapolis Colt offense is probably the most efficient offense with the exception of this current New England Patriot offense.
Yeah.
That if New Orleans needs to get on track, and they can still win 9-10 games, if they get on track, run the ball, let Drew Brees get his third and shorts, because then you've got your CBs up. That's when you can throw to Marques Colston over. That's when you can make the big plays on first down. Yeah. You can't do that right now when all the defense is like, oh, they're going to hand off to Reggie Bush and he's going to do a shimmy shake and fall down in the backfield.
The shimmy.
So, okay, one final topic to talk about a little bit. Chad Pennington is set to start against Miami this coming week. We all know he tweaked his ankle. He's been injury prone his entire career. He can't throw 10 yards down the field.
25. Every week I say this.
He tweaks his ankle. He tweaked his ankle, got cheered by the home fans. Clemens came in and can stretch the field a little bit, but he played against one of the better defenses in the NFL with the Ravens and didn't straight up lose the game for him. He performed okay, but the coach, Eric Mangini up there, said that it's Pennington's job when he's healthy.
It is his job, and it should be his job.
And he will start this week, but do you think that, first off, I like Chad Pennington as a player, as a person. I wish that he wasn't injured, and I wish that he could be that quarterback. But to be honest, I really don't think that he's the quarterback on that team that gives them the best chance to win.
No. And I happy that he is playing this week.
Well, you'd win if it was Kellen Clemens. At least now they have a chance. Yeah. Kellen Clemens is not ready. That's the thing. He's fine. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good quarterback. He's not ready this year. It's his second year. He's not ready.
But at the same time, he can at least open up.
He can make the deep plays right now,
even with 25 yards down the field, Chad Pennington still has to earn that, and they're able to put a lot of guys up in the box and stop any chance of who's their running back up there now?
Thomas Jones,
who has not produced at all this year.
He may not play this week. The secondary.
I'm trying to remember if I heard that.
Really?
He's not doing well. His injury is getting far worse.
That's not good.
Yeah,
regardless,
so Leon Washington,
their running game is pathetic, and it's not being helped out by they don't have a deep threat. And Clemens, even though he's not he doesn't have the experience that Pennington does. Pennington, he can't go out there and win the game with his arm anymore.
He almost never could.
He almost never could because right when he started and was like that,
guy.
And he was never big on him to begin with, but then he had two shoulder injuries in a row. And that destroyed him.
Yeah.
I mean, and it sucks because I am happy that he at least had this long, because a lot of other teams would have dumped him. But he finds ways to win. But at the same time, I just don't think it's going to happen right now. And I think the best guy on that team, the best quarterback on that team that gives them the best chance of winning is Kellen Clemens.
I still disagree. I'm going to align myself with Mangini on this one. You let Pennington's your guy. You let him play. He knows that offense better. He runs that offense. But I think they've got a lot more issues than just him.
Well, I mean,
and that's really their losing problem.
If anything, I would give Chad Pennington one more week of recoup for that ankle.
And that was my next question.
I would give him one
Craig.
More week.
How many more weeks do you give Pennington as a starter before you start thinking, okay, maybe we need to get a change in here?
It's a similar situation of when you're looking at a team that ends up being 0-4 or 0-5. Is that when you really? That's when you pull your guys. That's when you get.
Well,
real.
Some people get pulled. Derek, you know. Charlie Fry got traded in week one. He got pulled in a quarter and a half and then was traded.
I don't know so, if there's a logical explanation for that quarter. Other than Romeo Crennel.
Other than Crennel chose him because of a coin flip.
Right.
But
I don't see that. I don't think is a good.
I'm just saying
right.
that it happens where
it does happen.
It doesn't. You don't need but to wait that long because their season's
over. I don't think you need to. And no, I don't think Pennington leading them means their season is over. He knows how to win games. I mean, he's a.
But at the same time, the Jets are
I'm
unfortunately.
I'm not ready to buy into Kellen Clemens yet. After seeing
I'm not ready to buy into him
bit.
Either, but I think that just the threat that he brings of downfield, if he can complete a couple of those plays and stretch the field just a little bit, that's going to open up things for the.
I know, but you got to factor in all those second. I mean, because he's essentially a rookie. All those mistakes that Pennington's not going to make.
Yeah.
And that's when you need wins desperately.
That's true, but
those,
he held his own
snaps.
Against one of the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know exactly what his stat line was.
We're going to see him.
But
that's
he held his own.
We'll see him.
We're going to see him.
Because Pennington is going to get struck.
Right.
And at one point, he's not going to get up.
It might happen this weekend because against Miami.
Pennington might not have too much time left as a starter. And that's unfortunate because I really do like the guy. I wish that he wasn't injured. And I wish that he could perform and have a good career that he deserved all those years ago when he came out into the league, because he's put nothing but 100% into this sport and into that team, and it's a shame that the fans are treating them the way they are.
Well,
but at
New
the
York
same time,
thing.
I think if you got to look at it for what's best for the team, sometimes bad you have to do the something bad to somebody.
Yeah. Well, I guess once again, I mean, we might look at this as what Mangini sees stuff we don't about Kellen Clemens.
That is true.
And as much as we don't, I mean, I respect Mangini more than whatever the coach we were saying of the other, what we were talking
Brad
about.
Brad Childress or Lane Kiffin?
Oh,
Kiffin.
Either. To take your pick right there. I respect Mangini way more than of those two. So, I don't respect Childress at all. No. Or Kiffin. I think they're both making quarterback mistakes.
Yeah.
I would never give Tavares Jackson the ball and say, this is your season, buddy. Never. I would go pick up a Jeff Garcia or go get back Brett. Oh, man, don't even get me started. But I think there's things that we haven't yet fully seen. Kellen Clemens is their guy of the future. That's what it is.
Yep. That's
just
it.
Like, don't put Brady Quinn in right now. If Derek Anderson has one bad game, don't do it, Romeo. Don't do it.
And Romeo Crennel is saying Brady Quinn's one play away from playing.
Yeah, that sucks.
So,
that's
and, a and that's
you know who that's bad for? The Browns.
Yeah.
Because you know Brady Quinn. No, he's not going to be the best quarterback that ever lived. But he really could be a 5 to 7 year guy for them if it's cultivated properly. They need someone like that, just like the Steelers get Ben, and that's probably a good thing. You need a 7 year quarterback or whatever the year is. I'm sure you can pull up some statistic. When you have a consistency at the quarterback position, you can probably do better.
Yeah,
there's got to be some sort of bell curve on that.
Well, consistency always breeds better. You want to have as a quarterback, you want to have
that's why the Dolphins
a competent
can't get
assistant
together.
Coach. You want to have
say,
the same offensive scheme going in because. If you if you're constantly changing, you got to start from scratch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the teams
yeah,
have had the
it's
same
people
together, the Colts for 8-9 years.
Yeah. The teams with consistency are the ones at the top.
Yeah. The Dolphins made the playoffs year after year after year. We have had a quarterback problem the last couple of years.
And really, the quarterback position is important. I think that's why Pennington needs to be their guy right now. And
yeah.
I'm fine with disagreeing too.
I don't know.
I don't mind if he stays in, but I don't think
he'll go 0-4. I mean. This Miami game, I don't know. I'm nervous about
it. It's in Miami, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. No, it's in
It's in Jersey. But I'm nervous about picking it, but
the problem is I still think that
I know that. That's why
I
don't like any
I still
any
think
game
that
with
it's
3 points
too early. The Jets need to win now. Any AFC team that has gone 0-2 that wants to have any shot of making the playoffs
right.
needs to yeah. win right now. Because you know the Jets aren't winning that division.
Yeah.
And you know that the AFC is going to have a lot of 10-win teams.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So they need to go, what is it, 10-6?
They probably, at the very...
Is that what... they need
AFC?
To go at least 10-6
yeah.
in the
Who?
AFC.
Jets?
Any team in the AFC. If you want to make
They'll
a wild
make
card...
They'll make wild card on 9 wins, you'll see.
Not the AFC.
No, no.
That's what it was last
the
year.
Wild
they made
card.
The wild card.
Yeah, but not this year. There's a lot. The AFC teams
this
have
year,
improved this
year.
You're
going to have the Colts. You're going to have the
yeah,
Patriots.
Yeah, but those are going to be division
have,
winners. And
I know.
Then who's after them? Nobody in those two divisions. Houston is going to fall off. They're not going to win 10, 11 games, I don't think.
No, I don't think they will. But, I mean.
I think the wild card is going to be 9 games. And
I
what's
think
really
you
funny
can,
is
you can
no, but,
the
but
wild
I think
card is
going
to
have
like
the Ravens.
7 games.
I think you've got a lot of teams. At least you've got the Colts. And, yeah, okay, they might not have anybody else in their division squeak to 10 wins, depending from what we're saying now.
The only one I could say would be the North.
The North and the West.
Yeah.
You got the Chargers and Broncos, and if the Broncos have a little bit better season, if they can start playing a little
Man,
bit more consistently.
Do so much better, because when they start playing,
well,
they're 2-0.
So does everybody else
no,
except
the ones
for
who
the
don't
top.
Have to do any better are the top ones who are going to win those three divisions. It's going to be the Steelers.
And you've got the Ravens and the Bengals,
right.
who they both have chances.
We both know the Bengals are not going to do it.
But their offense alone, you just got done saying a good offense is enough to win you a bunch of games
in
the regular season.
But that team can't do it. they might even have more weapons than the Indianapolis Colts have had on their best year.
But they're not. The thing is, there's
coaching problems there.
There is, but they're not going to give up 51 points to anybody that much during the rest of the season.
Defense is so weak.
But I don't even know if you could say that because they gave that up to one of the worst teams.
Yeah, but that happens, and it was a division game, and it was in Cleveland, and that stuff happens. That's a rivalry.
Is staring
Those
in the
games,
face of an 8-8 season, just like last year, they're looking right.
They
at
are
it.
Staring.
They're looking at it. And
they
going,
are staring.
This is where we're at.
They
we
are staring at an 8-8 season, but that's also sometimes that's 2 plays away from being a 10-6 season. Sometimes it's 2 plays away from being a 6-10 season.
Yeah, well, they blew one of those plays because they should have beat the Browns.
Well, they didn't play. They
when
they
your
tried.
Schedule has
Their
the
defense
Browns,
did not let it.
The Raiders, the Falcons this year, and you drop those games, you're in trouble. You're in trouble for your season, I think.
Yeah.
That's just what I'm saying. Because you're right. It's going to be tight in there. So if you lose your game to the Browns, that was the one you were supposed to win.
Those games, it's harder to go 0-16 than it is to go 16-0, a lot of people say. And because nobody's ever done that. Nobody's ever gone winless in a season.
Right.
So those guys are going to win somewhere. And if you're going to win, you're going to probably say, all right, it's against a division foe and it's a home game.
Correct. I think division games are big. I didn't think that was going to happen, but that's
no,
why
but
that's
I didn't
why
either.
I think the
I
Miami,
thought it was...
That's why I think the Dolphins are going to come up and beat the Jets at home.
I think the Jets are going to have a little bit of sense of urgency. We'll get into all that a little bit. We're going to take a quick break, guys. When we come back, we're going to go through our fantasy segments, the over-unders, and the picks for Week 3. Make sure you go ahead and check out fourthandgoalshow.blogspot.com and also send your emails to fourthandgoalshow@gmail.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 4th and Goal, the official podcast of 4thandgoalshow.blogspot.com. Let's go ahead and move into your fantasy peoples. I know you're desperately dying to find out what's going on in this week's segment of What's Your Fantasy. And we got a little bit different.
Slight change here.
Slight change.
I'm taking the reins.
Reggie said earlier, this is going to be his last week for a while. He's got to go do some stuff. He's not going to be able to come out with us and you know, hang out with his friends or whatever. He's dumping us here at 4th and Goal. But
got a girlfriend.
Craig's going to go ahead and take over the reins for the fantasy until Reggie can come back for the playoffs and help you out with your playoff push and so you can dominate your leagues
well,
at the end of the
fantasy
season.
Then.
When are you coming back?
I should be back before that happens.
Sometime after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
No, he's
going
to have finals. There's no way.
Yeah, December 8th will
be.
Yeah,
but the
finals
are
right. Oh, okay.
He'll be back for like last 2 weeks or 3 weeks of the season.
If you smell anything, it was me.
Oh, God.
Through the mics. Thanks.
By the way. All right. Just some quick things. Just some guys you're going to need to start. Anybody out there with any Oakland players whatsoever, so Lamont Jordan, any of your receivers out there, go ahead and play him. Cleveland's no good. And Lamont Jordan is going to put up stats this week. I wouldn't start a Luke McCown, though. I wouldn't do that. That's not something I would do. Adrian Peterson, the Minnesota running back, you're going to want to start him against Kansas City. You're going to want to start any of your New England receivers. They're going up against Buffalo. That's I don't even know the kind of statistics that Tom Brady's going to come up with.
Even Dante Sutton.
That's called Tom Brady.
You know what I really would,
Wes
because
Walker
he's going to have to look around. He's going to have to look around. I know we've talked about it just earlier, and he's not going to do whatever. someone will put two men on Randy Moss sometime at some point. Your Detroit wide receivers are going to be fine up against the Philly secondary, which pretty much doesn't matter.
Yeah. Also, put both my Calvin Johnson and Roy Williams. I don't want to.
I hate playing two receivers on the same team.
You would have been fine last week to do that.
I would have been fine any week to do that because they both caught touchdowns in game one and two.
Watch out on your St. Louis players. They're playing Tampa Bay at home, and Tampa Bay just showed up against the Saints. They're probably fired up, and that defense isn't bad, so watch out for that. That's the Holt, Bulger, and Steven Jackson, unfortunately, for me. Watch out for that. Your Arizona receivers, watch out for them. They're playing against a really good defense in Baltimore. The Indy-Houston game is kind of tough. That's kind of a wash. We can't really tell what's happening with those teams right now, so I would avoid any guys that are second rate. Obviously, you play your Peyton Manning, your Marvin Harrison, guys like that. You'd play Andre Johnson if he was in, but he's out, so you're not going to play him.
Dallas Clark.
Some people are going to say to play the guy.
Jacoby Jones.
Is he the second receiver?
Yeah.
I still wouldn't. He's unproven. He's seen the ball like four or six times or something like that. They've thrown to Andre Johnson almost exclusively in Houston, so I would watch out for that. The Jacksonville-Denver game is also tough, because Cutler has been all over the place for starting Cutler, and I would never start David Garrard just as a personal thing. I don't like him
at
all.
What about defense? I got Jacksonville's defense.
Jacksonville's defense. I'm not confident in that. What's your choice?
Jacksonville or Miami?
Oh man,
that's.
I don't like that. I don't like that. I would start Jacksonville's only because you have the potential of them getting the extra points.
Okay.
Although the why. Making an argument for the Miami defense is sacks. Sacks are worth points in fantasy. So if you want some sacks, they're going to get some. Pennington's not mobile, and even Clemens isn't much of a runner. Cincinnati at Seattle. Your Seattle guys are going to be fine. Sean Alexander's going to be fine. I think he's going to run for plenty. I think Hasselbeck will be good as well. Any of your Carolina players, but you already knew this. Steve Smith, you were already starting, but start Jake Delhomme this week. If you had him and you weren't starting him due to having someone better or whatever, it's time to change your mind. He's going to probably put up numbers on Atlanta. They had maybe the eighth worst pass defense, so that's not so good.
Finally,
watch out with your Dallas guys. I know Romo's been a stud, but they're going up against Chicago. And if you have anyone else you could put in right now as a good backup, he might not put up four touchdowns this week. So I'm thinking you gotta steer clear of that.
All right, I got a question of that.
Go for it.
I've got, as what I thought was my clear-cut starting quarter running backs, it's LaDainian Tomlinson and Joseph Addai. Tomlinson hasn't worked out. Marion Barber's been solid for a touchdown or two in games one and two. You think I should put somebody in on top of LT until he starts turning around? Especially someone with the consistency of Barber, even though he's going against the Bears.
Yeah, he's got consistency, and they're going to need him on that goal line. So that's a tough call, but I think in this one you're going to want to stay with LT because of his semi-favorable matchup in Green Bay. Far more favorable than Chicago. I think we can make that agreement. But Green Bay's a real team this year, so that's why I say semi-favorable.
What about Addai then?
Addai is a tough one because, as I said, that I feel that Indy-Houston game is almost a wash. Like, I have to play Harrison, but I almost don't want to because it's like Houston kind of
showed up. That could
become
a shootout.
It could, but it also
could not. And Houston beat the Colts at home last time.
But it also could not become it. It could be one of those, like, 2020 games where Peyton throws one, like the Tennessee game. It could be just like that. That's a divisional game. It's so tough. For you, I certainly wouldn't start Jamal Lewis, even though he had a big week last week. I don't think he's going to do the same thing to Oakland. Barber is the one that is tough, and I think maybe it's LT and Barber. Maybe LT and Barber.
And that's the thing, like, 2 weeks ago, I would have been like, it's crazy if you think I'm benching LT except for his bye week. But now it's, you know, if I had put anybody in but LT, if I had put in even LT and Addai, if they had been benched for my other running backs, any of my other running backs.
Well, I think maybe your best matchups looking at the teams, actually your best starting two might be Addai and Barber, but It's really your toss up is Barber at Chicago or LT at Green Bay.
Yeah,
he also has Ahmad Green.
My recommendation is stick with LT. Like I'm sticking with Steven Jackson, even though St. Louis is not looking great at Tampa Bay. These are the guys in the league that are the best players. The best players come through. That happens. That actually does happen. They have bad weeks. Peyton Manning's had bad weeks before. They come through. I'm saying for that one, that's got to go. LT and Joseph Addai. And Barber and Lewis might come up in times where they have the best matchup. And that may come later, but right now you got to stick with who you know.
You got a question?
Yeah, Peter? Well, mine's kind of running back also because I have McGahee up against Arizona, Travis Henry at home against Jacksonville, or what's this dude's name? What's the other guy? Oh, Adrian Peterson away at Kansas City.
I want you to start Adrian Peterson because I think he's going to have a big game against KC. I don't necessarily think it's going to be all rushing, but they're going to swing it out to him. In my opinion, that was a very successful play in week one. They gave him about 100 yards in week two.
Yeah.
But I think they noticed there was a win in week one and a loss in week two, and I'm hoping Brad Childress, who I don't like, noticed that the more yards your young, strong, fast running back gets, the more it eases your awful quarterback, Tavares Jackson. So I think playing him is big. On your other one, it's between Travis Henry and Willis McGahee pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And you got Travis Henry, he's running up against, but he's at home, and it's Jacksonville's defense, which has been kind of suspect. They're not the same team they were, and didn't they let some – weren't they the ones who allowed Tennessee to run 275 yards on them?
Jacksonville?
Yeah.
So I'm feeling like that Henry is the better pick than McGahee. But, I mean, McGahee's put up stuff, but I'm saying Henry and Adrian Peterson
okay.
for those two.
I got a running back. I got Lawrence Maroney, Maurice Jones, Thomas Jones, and Norwood.
Well, Thomas Jones is sitting. You need to sit Thomas Jones.
Okay.
He's not getting you the yards. And out of those, you can't start Jarius Norwood right now because Warrick Dunn's still getting more of the touches. They haven't yet made that transition. Warrick Dunn is still a producer.
Yeah.
Jarius Norwood's averages are great, but you can't make that switch to him because he's never going to get you the points. You need
two
starters.
Or I'll trade you Amon Green or Jamal Lewis for Wes Welker. I made the trade with Jamal Lewis. But you expressed interest in Amon Green, and I'm willing to get rid of him. Those are backups in case bad things happen to me, and
they're
I need
starters,
a receiver.
I think,
and
well,
he would, and they would
is
start.
Amon
Green's a starter in Houston. You could put him immediately on your starting line because Maroney's not getting it done, and your other running backs aren't getting it done.
Well, what Maroney's not making, Tom Brady's making up for.
Okay, but what's your other guy? Your other guy's not good either.
Jones Drew is having a rough start.
He's having a rough start.
He's having a real rough start.
So why don't you – and you're not starting Welker.
I don't know if this is a good week for him to bounce either in Mile High. It's not a great place that opposing running backs go wild. So you're in a tough situation. This trade, if you feel it works for you, that's your call. I personally wouldn't give up Wes Welker right now. That's just me.
But you are weak
at running back.
And you're pretty strong at receiver.
I'm probably going to put Wes Welker in this week.
Well, it's his former team. No, that's not this week. My bad. It's New England. Buffalo. Yeah. But they're in New England.
If you want to get a running back, you need to make a receiver. I'm looking for receivers.
If you don't make a trade, you're going to probably have to stick with Mojo and Lawrence Maroney. You're just going to have to.
Unless I pick up another running back.
Off the waivers.
Yeah.
Off the waivers. And in that case.
There's not many out there.
There's a couple. You've got a guy going up against New Orleans. You got Chris Brown if you really feel like taking a risk on him.
Yeah, no, he hasn't been all that great.
Well, he put down 175 yards on Jacksonville, so.
That's just Jacksonville.
Well, I'm just saying they're playing New Orleans, whose defense is awful. If you really need somebody and you haven't used any moves, Chris Brown isn't the worst one in the world.
You wanted Amon Green?
Yeah, I wanted to know what he was doing.
Amon Green, so far, out of two games, is 31 attempts for 144 yards.
That's fine.
And one touchdown.
That's almost 5 yards
but also,
carry.
I think he has some.
That's almost 5 yards of carry. That's your trade. If you want a guy, I think Amon Green's better than Jamal Lewis, only because I think Jamal Lewis was a complete fluke last week, and I don't see him putting up
neither do
the
I.
100 yards a week
neither
that Amon
Well, you can take Amon Green. And if you don't want to give up Wes Welker, you got to offer something else.
Yeah, you need to come up with a decent counter because he wants Wes Welker. But, Welker was a coveted guy this year in fantasy drafts. He was a very coveted guy. Not high rounds, but he was one of those coveted, like, 6 to 9 rounds where people actually wanted him. Like Vincent Jackson, hasn't panned out. But,
well, what I would say is just I know you got to need a running back. I got to need a wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah, I got Rodgers Tigers. I got Lee Evans. I got, who else do I have? I got Santana Moss. I got all kinds of guys, man.
Maybe I don't want to trade with you.
I know that you don't.
If you offer a decent one, you offered me Santana Moss for
Marion Barber.
Marion Barber.
I could do Lee Evans for Marion Barber. Lee Evans is going to be fine. JP Lawson was going to throw to him.
No, I don't think he is. I knew he was going to throw at him, but it's not going to be consistent.
I'm not even going to start him and he's going to get points because I don't need to because I have Harrison, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and,
If you want to talk about Jamal Lewis or Amon Green or something like that.
For Greg Jennings?
Sure. No, for Lee Evans.
I can't do that. I can't take a guy
That's
on
why
a,
I was taking a guy off
on
his
an
bench
under 500 team.
For but a guy that could start
that
for him
guy
right
was on
away.
His bench. I don't even know why. Why was Wes Welker on your bench?
Because he has Randy Moss too.
Yeah, but that team
why
right
would
now
he,
it
but,
seems
but
like
if
you can
he
start
has,
both. Just like you
but at the same time
you
would have Brady, Moss, and Welker. If they have one bad week, he's done.
Right, but all the good weeks he wins. And this season, it's looking good. Like, I have no beef with you starting Johnson and Williams because Kitten is putting up numbers right now. That offense is putting up numbers. They're on their heels, so they're throwing. They're going to not – the run game isn't fantastic with Tatum Bell. I never like starting two receivers, and certainly not two receivers and a quarterback, but on your good weeks, man, you're going to be good.
Yep.
You're going to do good on your good weeks because that's double points for him.
All right, let me ask about the my tight end position. I got three tight ends. I've got Jeremy Shockey, LJ Smith, and Benjamin Watson, the Patriots. I originally got LJ Smith, but McNabb's not throwing good, so he hasn't played. He's also kind of injured, so he hasn't played a single down. I've been putting Shockey in, but now do I put in Watson?
I'm calling for Watson.
Because he's in my starting lineup for
because
this
of your
week.
Favorite, it's a favorable matchup situation on this one. He got a touchdown last week, which was
wide open.
Some of the worst defense I've ever seen in my life. So red zone defense seems simple. You have 7 yards to cover. They were like on the goal line. You have 7 yards to cover and 11 guys. Yeah, sure. Put your 8 or whatever you need to put in the box so they don't run. Where the fuck were those other 3 guys? And how is
they
Ben
forgot
Watson?
Him.
There wasn't anyone within 10 yards of him. Not just the 7. There wasn't anyone within 10 yards of him. Ben Watson is your guy because he's going against Buffalo, whereas you got New York against Washington, and Washington doing that weird thing where they're 2-0 and we don't know if they're for real, and it's Shockey, I don't know that I like him as a player. He's a great tight end, but what bad chemistry they've got right now on that team. So, I think your guy's Watson.
All right. Do you have a dark horse for this week? Dark horse or must starts or anything like that?
My must start is Adrian Peterson, the rookie, going up against Kansas City. If you have other running backs and you're torn on it, I think he's going to have a good week. That defense really doesn't show up. And Jake Delhomme is a must start as well. As for dark horses, next week I'll have a little bit better because I'll have a little bit more prep time right before the show. Yeah, you do it. You do the fantasy thing or whatever. But I don't have a great dark horse because dark horse would denote that it's not a guy that's on people's radars. I really do think that I don't know if this counts as a dark horse. I think Chris Brown's going to go over 100 yards against New Orleans because, man, they
suck.
That
would be a dark horse. He's probably not drafted by
he's
many
not
people.
Owned.
So.
His owning percentage right now on Yahoo is low. It's low.
Very low.
It's low. And I'm not picking Derek Ward even though he's got the better fantasy points because – he's got the touchdown against he has a touchdown. Brown hasn't scored a touchdown yet, but I think he can have a day on the New Orleans Saints. They're not good yet.
All right. And Reggie, the trade's yours. If somebody else makes a deal, I'm going to come back to you with the offer and be like, okay,
dude, I got Ruben Jones, man. You need him.
Reggie, do it on Monday.
That'd be mean. He needs points this week.
Why? Who's he playing?
David.
Oh, you
did. Oh, no, it's okay cuz I made David score as high as possible last week. He's not going to do that.
I wonder if any of us are going to get up there.
Well, here's the thing. The first time I went up against David last season, I dominated him.
Yeah. I know you did.
Speaking of
only
fantasy,
loss.
I love the fact that I'm like second in our league in points and all the way down at the bottom.
That's right.
Well, that's what happens when you lose by a fraction
going
of a
two.
Point. Or
yeah.
going
well, he
Monday
ended up
night.
Losing by
yeah,
like 10.
And the first week, the touchdown.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and move into
Scribbled.
The over-under for week 3. Go ahead and we'll recap what happened last week. Reggie dominated, getting 11 of the games of the picks correctly. He shot up for first place on the season with 18 correct. I've got 17, Craig's got 16, and Cuba's got 14. So it's kind of close, but Reggie had a great week. Shout out to Elite, so we're going to start with him
for the
San Diego at Green Bay. Over-under, LT finishes with an average of 4 yards per carry. Right now he's averaging
over.
Like, all right. Yeah, he's averaging 1.9?
Yeah, something like that.
It's terrible.
Pathetic. I'm going to actually say under.
Under.
Because the Green Bay defense so far has been pretty good, and I think they're going to be good.
Craig.
Oh, man. That is tough because if he gets 15 or 20 touches and goes over 80 yards, he beats it for that one game.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go over in the hopes that he gets some stuff together in week 3.
Yeah, I think it's got to be an over, too. I mean, hope.
I'm also going under because I'm going up against him this week.
Yeah,
so.
Cuba's hoping that it's under. Minnesota at Kansas City. Craig, Minnesota forces 2.5 turnovers.
You end with the half there again. I love that. over, because let's... Man, this is just
against Kansas City.
Half?
Well, you don't.
It's
that's
over,
why,
it's
that's
the,
why they
so
do
we don't
it,
do
so
any pushes.
No push.
Okay.
I am going over because I think that it's not necessarily they're going to force them. It's that Kansas City's going to fumble. And
Kansas City's
going to
make them.
If they fall on it, it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another reason why LJ's not on the game for me, I think that's definitely over.
I want to give that an over as well.
Ooh, means it's a push anyway.
Well, I'm going to be different and go under.
Never mind.
So, okay.
About those who are in the lead. Oh, I'm not anymore. Anyway.
Cuba, Buffalo at New England. Moss keeps the streak alive and catches over 100 yards.
I don't see how it's not possible, so I'm going to say over.
I know, right?
I mean,
it's so hard not to.
If he was going up against any other team, I might think about it, but Buffalo is just...
You want to say that? And then what if maybe the game plan, they're like, you know what, let's get Moss four to six catches, let's get Welker the ball. I mean, maybe you never know what's going on in that Belichick mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take the over also, only because of what you would think is common sense. Brady has thrown 300 yards and 288 yards on better teams than Buffalo. Pittsburgh ran a clinic on them, so... I'd be baffled if they could, because I think we know Tom Brady's better than Ben Roethlisberger quarterback wise. Ben's a great player, whatever, good leader coming into his own. Not Tom Brady. Got to take the over.
Yeah. Reggie,
I got to take the over on that one. I just can't see Randy Moss going under 100 for this game.
Unless
you know Buffalo comes out strong as hell. You know that's the only other way that can happen.
Yeah, I got to go with the over because I think the only way that Randy Moss is, or the Patriots offense is going to slow down is there's going to be a defense that's going to get enough film on them and figure out exactly what to do to slow them down.
Or someone
they're
going to
do
back.
It. It's going to work. And then the rest of the league is going to copy that. That's how it happens. Belichick's usually the one that finds that thing that works, and then the whole league copies him and beats the crap out of that team.
I think some defenses will cheat better. Maybe they'll go up against, I don't know, what's a good division rival of theirs?
Miami.
Right, and what's a good Miami cornerback? Maybe he'll have a little teaser. Maybe Randy will run that.
Still catches 80 yards.
Yeah, he'll do the bump route, and he'll just tase him. And Randy will fall down and be like, no, bro, don't tase me, bro. Don't tase me, if that throws back to anything you've seen in the
awesome.
News lately.
That was so great.
Don't tase me, bro.
He was doing his best. That kid, if you don't know, go on CNN, check out for the don't tase me, bro guy.
The kid.
Is that University of Florida Senator Kerry,
yeah,
John Kerry,
Senator
was
Kerry,
talking, and he went up and asked him questions, doing his best Dan Cook impression this kid was trying to do, and I was glad that he got tased.
It was a little bit extreme.
At first, I felt bad, but then I remembered. I remembered all the talks I had with the cops at Steak and Shake late at night. You can't resist arrest.
And he was like, don't tase me, bro, with his hands up, and then he push off and run away.
Yes, exactly. He was starting something because he knew it was being filmed.
Yeah, he provoked it.
Yeah, well, he's a prankster. There's now coming out that he had a website, and this was all whatever. But what I learned from the cops is if you are and you feel you're wrongfully being arrested, shut your mouth,
lay down,
get your lawyer, and man, will you get some money.
Yeah.
But the way he's doing it, he's not going to get anything because he actually pushed them and touched them. You can't touch a police officer.
Right.
Or something. Even the fake ones.
No.
Cuba, this is for you. Miami at New York Jets. Trent Green throws 1.5 interceptions. Threw 4 last week against the Cowboys, who so far don't have a good defense.
I know.
I threw it at the Cowboys. I have to go over, but I only think it's going to be like 2.
Me too.
Because I might actually be putting him in, just, I don't know, maybe.
Well, if he throws 2 picks and 2 touchdowns, you're going to get 12 points.
I know,
so. And
because Jay Cutler has been doing bad things for me.
So you're over, Craig. Reggie?
I'm going to go under on this one. I just don't feel the Jets' defense is what can stop Trent Green.
Yeah.
Even though Miami offense hasn't been performing that well.
Yeah. I'm going to go under, too. I think it's going to be less. I think it's going to be a much more even game. I think Green might throw 1, but I think that the running game is probably going to be able to have a little bit more say in this game, and they're not going to be blown out so early.
Well, I mean, if I have anything to say about this, I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I would hope so too.
Hope so.
Detroit at Philly. Detroit puts up 30 points on the Eagles.
Ooh.
Eagles.
Wow.
That's a high number. It's a high number.
It is.
I have to go under on that just because I don't think it's going to last. Especially if Kitna gets hit again,
okay,
something like that. If he goes out with another, because the guy behind
Kitna
is not good.
He still threw a touchdown. If you guys don't know, Kitna got knocked out of the game they had last week with a concussion, but came back in later in the game. Apparently he was cleared by all the doctors. There's still some kind of controversy over that, but whatever. Just want to clarify that.
What was the score for last week's and the week before?
Detroit scored 20 points last week,
and they put up 30, a little bit more than 30, I think, against Oakland.
I'm actually going to go under. That's a lot of points. He could still throw 3 touchdowns and be well under 30 points.
Yeah.
Because Tatum Bell is a former Denver Bronco, and that's why we know he's not going to run for 1,000 yards this year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go under.
Detroit, it was 20-17.
Right, that's what I said. Last week was 20. The week before was, I think, 34 or something like
I'm
that.
I'm going to go over just because I think the Philly offense.
You don't believe in the Eagles.
No, I think their offense is inept right now with McNabb not being healthy, and I think that the time of possession are just there's going to be a short field for the Lions, and they're going to be able to move the ball well, and there's been a lot of injuries to the Eagles defense, and they're just not playing as well, and I think that they have a chance of putting up a lot of numbers, maybe even the defense participating, even though their defense is awful. You don't need a good defense right now against the Eagles, so I think that they have a chance of scoring over 30. San Francisco at Pittsburgh, Frank Gore gets 100 total yards. Craig?
Total. That counts passing.
That does count passing.
Damn it. Pittsburgh's been it's rushing people up. Yeah. They've been messing people up
defensively.
I'm going to go under.
All right, Reggie.
That's a tough one to call.
You said it's at Pittsburgh, right?
It's at Pittsburgh. Ooh. They're flying across the country.
That's a tough one because
Frank Gore, you know, he's going through some trauma stuff. He hasn't practiced this week because his mother passed away before the game last week.
Yeah.
But had a good game.
What was his total yards, though? His rushing I don't know his total.
I think he had a big pass.
Did he?
I thought he did.
He had two touchdowns.
I'll get it up. Hold on. Give me a second.
Yep.
Reggie?
I'm going to go under. That Pittsburgh defense has been sick.
They've really been good lately.
They've just been shutting people down, and it's been the Bills, and the first game was the Browns, right? No, it was the Browns.
Yeah,
which is sucky.
And then the Bills.
It sucks that it had to be against those two, but they look good doing it. It's not like the Bengals who allowed the Browns to walk all over them. I would say,
you know, they haven't really faced an offense, but San Francisco is not that strong of an offense either.
San Francisco's won ugly.
Frank Gore was 20 attempts for 81 yards rushing, 2 receptions for 4 yards.
4?
Receiving.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sticking that under just because he's gonna get touches, but that doesn't mean anything.
I'm going under because I just don't think he's going
to. Yeah, I have to go under just because I fully believe that right now the Pittsburgh defense is playing at a high level, and I don't think Smith, the quarterback, is going to be able to do anything with his arm against that defense. And they're not going to be able. Gore might have a couple big plays, and he might get close to the 100 yards because if he gets out into the open field,
Troy will get him, or whatever,
somebody will jump on his back.
Troy will get him.
He might have a big play or two, but I think overall, I'm hoping that they can hold him down and shut him down.
Yeah. And let me ask something real quick here.
No.
Fantasy guy, I forgot.
Yeah, what's up?
Baltimore against Arizona or Pittsburgh against San Francisco? Which defense?
Points. You want the most points? Go with Pittsburgh. They're on a run right now, man. They're shutting people down. They're getting you under. They've allowed what? Ten points total
in the season.
I thought it was 7.
I mean, Baltimore
was worth
more for me last week because they had like.
Right, but they should pick. Pittsburgh should pick this team.
I know,
they should pick them apart. Baltimore against Arizona. You know Arizona's got those weapons, and that sucks because Leinart gets that one pass off, and you've already lost 5 points fantasy wise. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. Thanks. Sorry, I forgot about that.
St. Louis at Tampa Bay. Mark Bulger throws 1.5 touchdowns.
Shit. Over. 2.
I'm going to say the same thing over because,
I know. He's better.
They're at Tampa?
Yeah.
Yes. It is in the 100-degree heat at Tampa Bay.
If it's 100 again.
It probably will. It's September. And it was 100 degrees when we were there in November, sweating up in the grandstand.
It's actually supposed to be really hot this weekend, too.
Yeah, that's great.
Even though it's been kind
of
cool.
I'm not leaving my
house.
I'm just watching Heroes
and
Football all weekend.
I
could have
been
in
some of those Tampa Bay games.
We went last year to the same.
Should
like
we do
the 30-yard line
fourth and
first
goal,
bowl?
Road trip to a game?
We should go
up to Pittsburgh. We can all stay at the house.
Okay. I was thinking somewhere closer.
I'm not going up and
see the Steelers.
But
don't come any
closer. About it, I'm like, you want to go to a Dolphin game, probably?
No, I don't have to go to a Dolphin.
I
can
don't
enjoy
want to see the Bucks again. I think we should try the Jags. Get a good matchup on the Jags.
Oh, that wouldn't be.
I did think about that because the Colts play them every year.
Yeah, Jags.
That's a good team. I didn't even think of that.
His birthday present last year was football tickets. I was like, I can either take him to see the Colts play the Jaguars or the Saints and Reggie Bush come in and play Tampa Bay. And I figured the Tampa Bay one was easier, so. We went to see that.
I'm
going to
go over for this one.
Over?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to think that he's not going to have a bad year. And so far he's having a not good statistical year. And I think that this is about the time last year and historically where he starts breaking out. So I think he is going to have 2 touchdowns. They might not win, but whatever. Arizona at Baltimore. Matt Leinart finishes with a quarterback rating of 80. Reggie. That's like the border.
Yep. So borderline.
I'll go over on this one.
I'll have to say under.
Under.
Yeah, I'm going to say under. I'm not convinced about Matt Leinart. Never have been in the pro level.
Yeah, he's not even.
It's even if he was convincing, he's got a tough week.
Yeah.
He's going up against Baltimore in Baltimore.
Some of the best don't put up good numbers on Baltimore. I mean, Matt Leinart, aside from being questionable, and you're really not sure, you look at him and you're like, man, you've got Edgerrin James, Larry Fitz, and Anquan Boldin, and you guys haven't won enough games in the past, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not worth it. Something's wrong there.
Oh. Man, Miami is just messing up Texas A&M.
31-0.
No, it's good. It's college game. I wish I was fucking not sitting on the side of the table.
It's kind of funny because Texas was at the goal line.
they were until they got messed up. Okay, next game. The Indianapolis Colts at Houston, Texas. Houston Texans. Reggie, this one's for you because Matt Schaub's your boy. Is he going to throw for 250 yards?
I'm going to go under.
Nice.
I'm going to go under on this one. I don't think he's going to...
I have to go under because of Bob Sanders.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
That's my reason as well. Mine too. Because he makes tackles. He's going to sack Schaub too. He's going to somehow get in there. I loved watching one of the sacks he put on. Not the final one. That wasn't really even a sack. It was that flubbed lateral that he was trying to get to Vince Young. The one right before that, Bob Sanders, I was yelling at the television. It's when I just got back from the play. I just came back home. And Sanders, he came up, which what looked like he was going to blitz, and then the ball was hiked, and he sat there,
oh,
and I was upset. I'm
like,
that. What are you doing, Sanders? You're not even moving. And all of a sudden, he was on Vince Young. He had but people were moving. People were moving, and he wasn't. I swear to God, standing still. The play was going on. And I thought that's pretty much taboo, that you don't do that. You need to be in motion because these guys are fast. No, not Bob Sanders, who runs a 4.2. He was standing still. Young was moving. He waited. Boom. He shot through the center and the guard. The guard is the guy next to the center. Yeah. The tackle's on the outside, right?
Yes.
And whoa, he was in there.
Bob Sanders.
It was disgusting.
And Troy Polamalu might be the most fun. You might have the most fun and enjoyable to watch them play. Yeah. From the safety position, because they just do everything on defense. They'll defend passes, they'll jump up to the line of scrimmage, and they'll do sick crap like that. So,
sick run blocks.
So, Craig, what'd you say? Are you going to go under?
I am going to go under.
See, I think that one has the chance to turn into a shootout, but I have no reason to doubt the Colts' defense from what they've done so far this year.
Plus the fact that Andre Johnson is not in.
And Andre Johnson's not in, so I'm going to go with an under. Moving on to the next game, Jacksonville at Denver. The snooze fest of the week. Jacksonville rushes for 175 yards. Craig?
175 Jacksonville?
I don't even think they've rushed that much in the 2 weeks.
Denver's got a weak rush defense.
I'm saying under, dude. I can't.
I'm going to say under, too. I mean, they're in the Mile High Stadium. You know?
So does Tennessee have a weak run defense, and look what they did. I'm going to go under as well.
I would definitely go over.
I'll do that.
I'm going to
stay in dead last.
Cleveland at Oakland. Was it a one and done? Jamal Lewis rushes for 100 yards.
Oh, just 100?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Half of what he did last week.
I'm going to have to say over in hopes. Because I messed up last week with my 100-yard
I'll say
rushers.
Over because Oakland's pass defense is the best part of their defense.
Yeah. Yes.
So I'm going to say over.
Although they bolstered their defensive line this year.
But, I mean, I have to go over.
Just run to Warren Sapp. He's too old. Run directly at him.
Cleveland and Oakland, or is it?
It's Cleveland at Oakland.
It's that game that I don't want to pick when we're doing the pick 'em.
Yo,
because
you have to go
with Oakland, but you're making a mistake. Either way, you've made a mistake because you don't want to be the guy supporting either of those teams. That game, you don't bet on that game either.
You know, I'm going under in this game.
The only game you bet on is New England at Buffalo.
No, that's a big spread. There's some other games you bet on. There's some other games he's going to talk about.
I'm going to go over. On this one, by the way.
Yeah, you do that.
Cincinnati at Seattle. Palmer throws 2.5 touchdowns.
Oh, man. I don't even know. How do you follow up a 6-touchdown week?
Yeah, you can't.
You just don't. And, I mean, maybe he throws 2, maybe 3. That's what sucks because I thought he was going to throw 2. You can't push on 2.5. Nope. Over. Let's say three because, man, those receivers are good.
And I'm going to say over at least three because Seattle hasn't really.
They get open. They just, they do it. Yeah. TJ and Chad and even fucking, you got what, Tad Perry. You got, who's the fourth guy that we saw? No, is it a young guy?
Holt.
Yeah, right? Another Holt, yeah. I mean, there's just guys coming
everybody.
Out of nowhere.
Everybody.
They're all criminals. They got the dreadlocks. They need to make a rule. Just cut your hair.
Chad's not a criminal.
You don't have dreadlocks.
I know. That's true.
And TJ's long hair isn't dreaded. It's just womanly.
Reggie?
I'm going to go over as well.
Yeah,
I don't see Carson Palmer throwing less than three.
I think this one's going to be, it's going to have a good final score. It's going to be close, but I think it's going to be one of those where Seattle, their West Coast offense, you know, the combination with Sean Alexander running and Hasselbeck throwing, they're going to put up their points, and then Palmer's going to get in and throw a touchdown, like two plays later. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be one of those back and forth.
I expect at least one of those long, Chad Johnson just smoked your ass and you're sad touchdowns.
Yep.
And I pray for it.
You don't even need to. I think that's the kind of secondary where I think they have, they got Marcus Trufant. And one other guy, they got players, but you know, it's not the best guys. There's nobody.
Something can break down.
Exactly. Well, no, even the best shutdown corner lets shit go. And Chad Johnson is the guy that happens with. He's too fast. He does one of his dumb moves, and there he is alone, 10 yards after the guy.
Okay, Carolina at Atlanta. Steve Smith catches 1.5 touchdowns.
I'm going to have to say over. I know you didn't say who's going first, but I just want
to
say.
I was
going
to go to you anyway.
It has to, because if he doesn't, it makes no sense.
They don't win.
Well, no. I mean, they have. Atlanta can't win a football game.
Okay,
right now.
Let's just put it this way. Atlanta's secondary has been bad over the years. There's no way Steve Smith won't score more than.
How are they going to win a game right now? I think maybe later in the season.
I
want
to try to be different, but I can't. He's at least going to get two.
How do they win a game right now? How do the Atlanta Falcons win a game? What do they need other than an act of God, which in this particular game is Jake Delhomme and Steve Smith leaving the game? What else can happen for them to win this game?
I actually almost feel like this is a game where they could stun everybody and come out with a win. I am not sold on the Panthers being a good team. And I think
they're
it's one of those
not.
Where
I'm
it's
not saying
but
that.
I know, but I think it's one of those where they're going to perform well against good teams and underperform against really bad teams. You always have one of those teams a year.
I
have a strong feeling
that
this is going to be it.
Past.
St. Louis is doing it now. So.
No, they haven't performed well against anybody, so we can't say that yet.
Well, I know.
Carolina at least looked good offensively. It's their defense that is really letting everybody down.
I have that feeling that this is not going to be a good game for Steve Smith, but my brain is telling me, you know, you got to go over. So I'm going to go over on this one. But I have that feeling where it's just something's going to snap where it's on paper, he should dominate, and it's going to be one of those surprises where, like, well, where the hell is Steve Smith? What the hell's going on?
He's performed well against them in the past, so.
Yeah, but so did LT against the Patriots. New York Giants at Washington, a crucial game for the NFC East.
Oh,
if the Giants lose, they're going to
really
be 0-3 with 0-2 in the
division yeah.
Washington is 2-0. And if they win, they'll be sitting on top of the division.
Yeah. Yes. They'll be at 2-0 in
their division.
They'll be at 3-0 with 2-0, two wins in the division.
Sick
so
start.
Be
and a great start for Joe Gibbs, who's been getting the semi-hot seat from the media. He really has.
So, okay. Yeah, it's a key game for both those teams. Joe Gibbs is dedicated to the run. Man. Does Clinton Portis get 100 yards rushing?
Damn.
Oh,
you've got was it Liddell Betts?
He hasn't done that this year. He hasn't gone
He's
over
been
100.
Running really strong, but so is Clinton Portis. I thought Clinton Portis finished well.
He broke 100.
I don't think he broke 100, but he finished well.
I really don't think he broke 100. I'm regardless of whether he did or not. I'm staying. I'm going to want to commit to under because I don't think either of those two games.
Okay, the first
game
he had 98 yards.
Yeah,
and the second one 69.
If they do a running back duo, which they are doing, I mean, it's going to be successful against that awful, awful team. That's I can't even comment. It's at Washington, right?
Yeah.
Oh man, my dad will probably change allegiances at some point.
He is upset.
Yeah,
he's got to be. Reggie,
all New York teams except New York.
Under.
Cuba,
over.
I got to go over because I think one of two things is going to happen. I think one of those running backs is going to finish with over 100 yards because I really do think that with the how weak that Giant defense is, I think it's very good chance that the Redskins and Jason Campbell, they're going to put up a lot of points early on. And so both those running backs, they're going to get carries early in the game. And then in the second half, when they have a good lead, it's going to be all running all the time.
Yeah.
I have, I truly believe one of those guys is going to break 100, and I'm going to think, I think it's Portis, so I'm going to go over. Two more games for this week for the over-under. Dallas at Chicago, matchup of the two NFC heavyweights, although it's hard to call Chicago a heavyweight, but their defense keeps them in every single game. Do the Cowboys score 25 points, the most potent offense in the 2007 season? Can they put up 25
Such
against the best defense
tough
in the league?
Questions.
Yes, they can. Over.
I'm going to say under, even though I still think they're going to win the game. Probably like 21.
I got to go over.
I think it's going to be over, but I think at least one of those touchdowns comes from the defense.
Yeah.
The Dallas defense?
Yeah.
That's very possible.
And Roseman might not be the quarterback at the end of this game.
Who's their backup?
Tennessee.
Brian Greasy.
Oh, okay.
Tennessee at New Orleans. Monday night game. Monday night showdown. We talked about it in the first segment. McAllister needs to get his touches to win. Will he get 15 rushes this week?
Yes.
Does Peyton understand what's going on?
I think the same thing.
Yeah, that's got to be over.
Yeah, I think if they have any if they have any hope, if Peyton, I have faith in Peyton as a coach. I think he's going to realize what did we do last year that we're not doing? Oh, we're not playing our best.
Surprising,
one of our best
offensive
players
for the two. Yeah,
so
week two.
That's it for the over under. We'll go ahead and bring that back next week, let you know exactly who's up, who's down. If hopefully Reggie doesn't dominate again this week with the over-unders. And
it'd be funny if he starts pulling away, but then he's gone. So we have a chance.
Yeah.
He can. So you should email him to him so he can like make the picks at school.
Nice. Yeah, we'll probably do that. I'll be able to do that. Okay, let's do it. Go ahead and move into the final portion of the program, and dare I say, the most important part of this program. Our picks for week three. We're going ahead into the leader. Craig is leading the week. It's very close.
I'm alone in the lead, though.
Craig, for week two, everybody got six games correct except for Cuba, who got five. But on the season, Craig's by himself at 12 correct picks, and everybody else has 11.
For the record, this is not good. There are 16 games a week. That means I'm 12 for 32.
And,
but it's
and
because
we're going
we're
against
the
spread. Let's be honest.
Hard.
We're going against the spread.
And last week, spread's fucked.
And the spread is always hard beginning of the year.
In my other one, I got 11 against the spread.
But that was just that's straight pick 'em.
No. Okay, I do one against the sports guy, Bill Simmons. I got 11. Because unlike somebody, I do it on what I'm feeling at the moment.
That's exactly how I do it. Like, I'm going to make these picks, and then I'm in a money pick'em league. I'm going to base my opinions on what you guys say when I make those picks. So let's go ahead, start it off, and we got to do random, because Cuba said he didn't want to be called a copycat anymore.
Yeah, do it. No.
So Cuba's going to be first. San Diego is the favorite, going up to Green Bay by 5 points.
I have to say San Diego's going to win that.
Craig.
You went right to me. By five, they... Oh, no. Oh, no. It's in Green Bay. Let me get Green Bay on the shocker. Let me get Green Bay on the shocker.
That's where I was going to go, too.
Green Bay?
I felt that way, too.
I just think that team is so fired up right now. They're going to rally around Favre. I mean, there's a lot of things happening really good for them.
Yeah.
Now, it can go to poop, by the way. But, man, he's looking better than he did the past 2 years.
He has. I think the Chargers are embarrassed. And I think that they are going to come out and smack some people in the mouths, and I think they're going to put a hurting on Green Bay. So I'm going to go with San Diego. Game number two, Minnesota at Kansas City. Kansas City's the favorite by 3 points at home. Reggie. That's pretty much the exact the reaction I had when I read it.
I think that, see, I
wanna,
this is a joke line,
see,
by
I
the way.
I want to say KC, but, you know, I have a feeling Tavares Jackson might kind of show up. Kinda.
It's not even that.
He's not the one that's going to do it. It's going to be Minnesota's defense scoring three defensive touchdowns. And Mike Thomas whining about my defense winning me another fantasy week.
It's not against me. I don't care.
Yeah.
So what'd you say, Reggie?
I think he's taking KC.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take KC on this one.
I'm going to take Minnesota.
Yeah, and I can't take KC because
I think Minnesota's going to win.
Minnesota's the line is it's a joke line. They do that. They do the
they
do the.
They
we're
just
fuck
went.
With your
these
lines.
Two teams are a toss up. Let's pick the home team by three.
Well, three is the internet. It's the universal line that we don't know who's going to win line.
Well, they also sometimes they will do the straight up pick 'em.
Rarely, yeah.
Rarely, but sometimes
we had one last.
A lot of the games actually, when I was getting these odds today off of Yahoo, a lot of the games started today with no line.
Yeah,
they just
now.
Look
how many are 3 and 3.5. So
yeah. So I mean, are you going with Minnesota,
yeah,
Craig?
Yeah, because I think they're going to win outright. I mean,
yeah. So do I. That's why I got to go.
And I guess I got a buffer here. If they lose by one or two, I win anyway.
Yeah, that's sometimes it works in your favor to pick the underdog. Buffalo at New England. This is by far the biggest
biggest spread we've seen this season
of the season and of the week. New England is the 16.5 point favorite at home, and I'm going to go first this time because the sad thing is I got to go with New England because I see no reason why they're going to slow down. So I got to go with New England on this one.
I concur. They are probably going to maintain their average of beating opponents by 22 points, which is ridiculous considering they played the Chargers.
I have to say the same thing. Buffalo hasn't shown me a reason why they can't stop them.
I got two weapons on my team right now.
Fantasy-wise, he needs them to win.
I need that.
No, you want a shootout.
No. I want Tom Brady to throw 6 touchdowns.
But in a shootout. Miami at New York Jets. Cuba, I'm going to let you take this one. Jets are favored by 3 at home.
And I'm going to say Miami.
Okay.
I can't Shocker. Vote against my team.
I do for superstition reasons.
I'm also taking Miami on the underdog here.
Though they don't have Thomas Jones, I'm going to take the Jets.
This is one of those where I don't think the Jets are an 0-3 team. And I think Miami can be. So I'm going to go with the Jets, but the lack of running game is going to hurt them.
Well, they do. They have a decent front backup.
Who?
Leon Washington.
Oh, okay. Detroit at Philadelphia. Surprisingly to me, Philly's the 6-point favorite.
I wish, once again, the video podcast, my eyes jumped out of my head.
I know, he was
like,
just,
what?
I thought he was mad at me for making that, and I didn't.
That should clearly be one of those 3 or 1.5 pointers where it's like, no, I don't even think Philly's going to win. I think the Lions are going 3-0, and a lot of people are going to start like saying, "I wish I got on that bandwagon instead of the San Francisco bandwagon." Get me down for the Lions on that one.
I have to say the Lions just because if Philly somehow does win, I don't think
they're
going to win
by
6 points.
Yeah,
it'll be by like a field goal
unless it's
going to be
an interception at the end of the game returned.
Yeah,
which would be silly.
So I have to go to Detroit.
Reggie,
I feel the same way.
Detroit?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Just don't see Philly coming out firing out like that.
If they win and the Lions go 3-0, it's going to be hard. we were all wrong. First off, we were all dead wrong, and it's going to be hard not to look at them as a good chance of going to that 10-win mark.
Oh, God.
And that's going to be a sad day.
It's
going to
be
a Antichrist
sad day
has come.
For lots of things. Because
zombies are here.
John Kitna was right. It means John
Kitna
was right.
I think we did say that. I think we said if they actually got the 10 wins, zombies would be ruling the earth.
It's just that...
They're here, man. Meteorite landed in Peru and people got sick and died.
I read that.
Well,
it's
probably
terrifying.
It's probably radiation.
It's kryptonite.
The water started boiling next to it and they said that it was because of the water vapors.
Oh, you know how hot those things come in at?
They were... I have to go buy a shovel to protect myself.
I don't think that's any kind of alien thing. It's just those shit. If it's coming in at like
fucking
ridiculous speeds,
zombies.
Ridiculous speed. They're not zombies. There are never going to be zombies. And if there are, just by video game logic and comic book logic, if the world does go to shit and there's zombies, start knocking over trash cans and shit because there are going to be guns under there. And you're going to be able to go find guns randomly.
Okay.
Because if the world
goes
to shit.
First, you get to a mall. Then you have to climb up onto a ledge. There's a box with a teddy bear, some orange juice that'll replenish your health, and an Uzi.
That's
just
what I'm
you
saying.
Know.
if things go to shit, just be fine. There's going to be weird drugs around the place. You can get a lot of painkillers because I'm now throwing like a little bit of Max Payne in there. You just mix it up a little bit.
The
a little
most
terrifying
thing for
I'm
me.
I'm thinking about starting painkillers.
I think it would be okay if the zombies were slow moving, but if they're from the remake of Dawn of the Dead and they're fast moving,
What about 28 Weeks Later, where those guys are?
They're
fast.
Not zombies. That was not a zombie movie.
It's okay.
Those were infected a-holes.
Still zombie-ish.
It was zombie-ish. Whatever. We got a little bit off topic. My favorite game of the week, San Francisco taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh is the 9-point favorite. No respect for the 49ers. Just none.
No. And the way Pittsburgh is playing, this one looks simple. But then if the 49ers get anything going, they could only lose by 7 because they're going to lose. But it's tough, and I'm thinking that the Steelers have to slow down at some point. I'm going San Francisco on the spread, not on the win. They're not winning this game.
I'm going to go with the Steelers, even with the spread.
It's a cover.
It's a cover.
They have beaten they have beaten their opponents by like 30.
Yeah. It helps when you hold them to 7 and 3 points.
Yeah.
Unless Alex Smith starts using Vernon Davis, I don't see them.
What kind of bad communication?
Pittsburgh does not cover the tight end. I just want to let you know.
They don't. And what kind of awful communication is that team having where that offensive coordinator doesn't realize Vernon Davis is Antonio Gates younger?
Yeah.
He's that same guy who can line up as a receiver. He's fast. He can jump. Something went wrong there where they're whatever. He's not getting it. He's not getting that maybe because he was over in Pittsburgh where they didn't respect the tight end properly.
Who knows?
Vernon Davis needs to get thrown to 10 to 12 times. He's going to drop some.
Who is
some
this you're talking about?
Vernon Davis.
What did you say about Pittsburgh?
Where that you said they don't respect the tight end, so I was saying they got to throw to Vernon Davis.
Oh, I thought you were saying the guy in San Francisco. No. I was like, what? You talking about Wisenhunt?
Isn't he the former coach? Maybe that's
with the Cardinals.
Whoops.
That's why I was confused.
I did make that mistake. Mike Nolan, wake up.
Ken Wisenhunt is with the Cardinals, I did make that mistake.
It's Nolan who's got to wake up and throw to one of your best athletes next to Gore. I mean, come on.
They won't start winning games until they really start utilizing.
Well, they're 2-0. They're winning games.
So sloppy.
Print what he said. Print it.
So sloppy, though. I'm talking about really win a game.
Okay, so are you going with Pittsburgh, Reggie?
Yeah.
I got to go with San Francisco out of superstition.
I'm going to drape your car in yellow.
What?
What?
And black.
What's that?
Oh, okay. I'm fine with that. The only Steeler thing I can wear on game day is my little Steeler blanket. I tuck it under my legs if I'm at home. If I'm at a bar, I have to drink Iron City beer.
I'm going to call Nicole and tell her to break out the terrible towel.
No. No, this terrible towel is to stay in the closet no matter what. It comes out afterwards.
I'm going to come over and pull it out just so I meet this, just so they touch the spread.
No, they'll lose. They'll be like, that touchdown, guess what? Price is right. You get 10 points for that touchdown. Yeah. Seattle at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay coming strong off their domination of the Saints are the 3.5-point favorites at home.
Tampa Bay is a favorite?
Against St. Louis.
Oh, I thought you said Seattle.
Yeah. I keep getting you STL did. And
I
was, SEA screwed
I looked down
up.
Here, I'm like, Seattle's playing
SEA.
I know.
Wow. I mean, can Tampa Bay even do what they just did to the Saints?
No.
I mean, I don't think that's possible. And can the Rams
well,
go
unlike
0-3?
Unlike the Aints, the St. Louis Rams have a defense.
And
so.
They can't go 0-3, can they? I mean, they can.
I don't think it's possible. And I'm saying St. Louis.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm taking them too, because even if they lose, maybe they'll lose by one.
I also have to say St. Louis.
Yeah, I do too, because I do think St. Louis is going to win this game. I don't think they're an 0-3 team. I just don't.
No.
So, Arizona at Baltimore. Baltimore, the defense going up against a young offense. At home, 8-point favorites.
At home, they've got to win that game, Baltimore.
But do they win by 8?
Sure. They win by 10.
Yeah, Baltimore.
McNair is still playing, right?
Oh, I don't know.
He was bowling last week.
Yeah, but he might be back this week. I didn't hear. I don't know if he practiced or not.
I'm banking on the defense shutting down the the Cardinals.
Just to be different, I'll take Arizona.
All right, I'm going to stick with the Ravens because experienced defense, young offense, it could work out. I wouldn't be shocked if the Cardinals light up the Ravens defense, put up a lot of points. I don't think it's going to happen, though. No. If they do, there's no way Baltimore wins. Because Baltimore's offense is not going to be scoring a lot of points this year. The Colts, Indianapolis Colts, are the 6-point favorites on the road against the Houston Texans. Cuba?
I have to go with the Colts. I have to.
Seems like a logical pick.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. I feel like that kind of team, it's like them and the Patriots and the Steelers this year. It's like it doesn't matter if they're on the road. It's just something you say when you lose. The opposing teams, like, we were at home, why don't we win? Well, you played the Colts, the Patriots, or the Steelers. And that this year, those are the powerhouses, and everybody else is really going to scrap in the AFC. It really is going to be a scrap. It's almost like the AFC playoffs is set right now.
Anything can happen.
No. No.
Yeah, but, I mean, Houston lost Andre Johnson.
There's some things that we know. And he'll be back, by the way.
I hope he is.
There was the MRI was negative for all things that were bad. Yeah. And as a slight side note, and just in all sportsmanship and stuff, I was watching the Ultimate Fighter. First episode came out. They just brought the 16 guys out. I know it's totally unrelated, but it's because it's injury-based. Whereas, like, in football, we see guys who get, like, pulled muscles and they're out for 2 weeks and stuff like that. This dude broke his elbow. The bone, they showed the x-ray. It was fractured completely. Ooh. It wasn't even hanging off. It was broken. And he had continued wrestling that first day, but he was like, it really hurts or whatever. So they sent him to the doctor. He's yelling at the doctor to tell him, no, you can't say that I can't fight. I'm here to fight. This is week one. He really wants to fight. Dude's got the best attitude of a sportsman. I mean, idiot.
Yeah.
Because clearly you don't fight with – it was a broken bone in the elbow. There's the two bones that lead up to the elbow. He broke one of them just off.
You just can't broken. Do that.
And he took the cast off, and he was ready to start working out when Dana called in and said he's going home right now.
Did you see
– fantastic sportsmanship, sort of, with a little bit of overall ignorance.
There was a sad moment on one of the Ultimate Fighters a couple years ago. There was that one – I think he was an Olympic wrestler. He was deaf.
The deaf guy, yeah.
And he got a concussion.
I was very sad about
and
that.
Got injured, but he won that match, and he came out, and all of the guys were like, we're sorry, you're not fighting. He's like, but I won. I'm fighting,
yeah,
and I won.
Understand.
And it was like – it was really – yeah, he didn't understand, and it was really sad
that he couldn't fight,
and they had to bring in this scrub loser to come in.
Exactly. That was tough because I became a big fan of that guy. What was even worse is that the last
pay-per-view
he
got robbed.
He won that fight.
He won. That's what my dad loves UFC.
He thinks
that he's like, I think it might now be fixed because he won that damn fight. And one of the cards was like well in his favor and the other two were
the
one
other
point.
That's why I don't think it's fixed. I just think it's just like boxing. Judges
I think
are screwed
it's
up.
Just like figure skating.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Judges are screwed up. Yeah. And you're relying on judges. I was wrong in saying boxing is fixed. It's just like that scoring type thing where you've got such opinionated people. He totally dominated that fight, and it was up against the guy who won the Ultimate Fighter. But
it was
like,
the guy he should have played in that
championship.
Oh man,
he would have beat him even worse if they played him.
Yeah,
I'm really upset, but I'm hoping Dana White keeps him around because losing in the UFC doesn't necessarily matter. You lose your belt or whatever if you lose, but if you are the right kind of person and marketable, which I believe he is, Dana puts you back in. All the top guys have losses. There's very few undefeated guys right now.
Yeah.
Dan Henderson was undefeated, and he just lost to Quentin Jackson. And they're pining for
a rematch.
Federer Emelianenko. I'm saying it wrong, I think.
Fedor.
Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal.
This guy's
in the octagon.
I would watch that in a second because they're very skinny-ish. Nadal's got the arms, but it only looks like that because he's on the court with skinny people. He's not really that jacked, but whatever.
And the judge is going to be in the chair up on the edge.
No, I'm talking about the heavyweight champion from Pride, Emelianenko. He's across the board. Everyone thinks he's the best fighter in the world and that Randy Couture wouldn't stand a chance, so... They're trying to make it happen. You know that Mark Cuban threw his hat into MMA? He's starting in MMA.
I heard about
that.
He's going
to buy a baseball team.
They want him to buy a baseball team. He's probably not going to. He put in the bid for the Cubs is what it was.
They've been wanting him to buy the Pirates for years.
He's a Pennsylvania guy, right?
He's from Pittsburgh. He can afford them. At Cubs games now. He's like going to Cubs games.
Yeah, he put in a bid.
Yeah.
He can afford both of those teams because I think both of those teams are under $300 million.
We can't own
Pirates
one.
Pirates are... I know you can't own more than one.
Oh.
But I don't think he's going to buy either.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying.
The Mavericks are worth more than... The only baseball teams that are expensive are like the Yankees and Rangers and the Boston Red Sox.
All right, let's go ahead and get back to sports. Huge off-tracking, but
huge.
You know what? You're on our schedule, babies.
That's right. And we're going overtime, motherfuckers.
All right, Craig, pick Indianapolis. Are you taking the Colts?
Yeah, I got to take the Colts.
Reggie.
Yeah, I got to take the Colts.
You know what? I'm going to take Houston to cover the spread just because these division games... The Colts on the road, they lost last year to these teams. I don't think they're going to lose, but I think it's going to be another really close game, like another 22-20 or just something. The 6 points is a lot to cover, so I'm going to be different and go with Houston. So let's move on to our next game, Jacksonville at Denver. Denver is the 3-point favorite, a mile high. Who wants to start? Anybody?
I'll start.
All right, Reggie.
I don't think Denver is going to cover that. They're going to do another field goal win by 1 point bullshit that they've done.
That's valid. That's valid, I suppose.
I think Denver might win by a field goal, but the 3 points will cover it. So I'm going to say
that's
Denver.
That's a push. I think they're going to win by a little bit more than that.
I also think that it's not going to be that close.
Let me get Denver on that one because, I mean, Cutler can only play so bad before something happens and he accidentally throws the touchdown.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Denver on this one, too. I think they're going to win by a touchdown.
You just are like, but no, dude, no, Cutler, man. Maybe that's why you lost. Oh, 2 weeks in a row.
This will be the fun game to watch. Cleveland at Oakland.
Because it's true, because if you put the other guys in, you wouldn't have lost.
Week one.
You wouldn't have lost if you put in a different quarterback, I bet.
No. It was,
oh, was he the best? He was just Heap.
It was the Heap thing, or if I would have put in a different running back in.
Well, it's always who you don't put in, like Mike Thomas. You and him can get together on that.
Well,
my bench had 100 points.
Well, you won last week by accident.
I didn't win.
He didn't win. Remember?
He lost.
He was supposed to have won. Oh, remember that?
I should have won. I should have
killed
him.
You are 0-2 also, right?
Yeah, you should have destroyed him.
I should have killed him, but I put in all the wrong people. Yeah. Cleveland at Oakland. Oakland is getting the nod at home, but only by 3 points.
This is probably the hardest game to pick because it's the battle of what we would have thought was going to be the worst two teams before the Vic thing happened. And then we were like, oh, Atlanta's going to be one of the worst teams. And, oh, maybe Detroit's going to suck. And, oh, Tampa Bay's going to suck too. Now it's not, it's just not clear. And I'm taking Oakland.
I have to go Oakland just because I don't think Cleveland can do it 2 weeks in a row until they prove me wrong.
Man, if Derek Anderson throws more touchdowns, he's going to go up from like 0% owned in fantasy to like 95. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. People are going to pick him up off the waiver wire.
I'm going to pick up Cleveland on this one.
You know, there's a couple things going on here. First, Cleveland's got to travel across the country. I think that does matter. That plays a little bit of a factor in how these guys perform a little bit. I also think that Oakland is, as much as Denver is a couple plays away from being 0-2, Oakland is actually a couple plays away from being 2-0. And I don't think they're a 2-0. I don't think they're good enough to be undefeated. But I think with a little bit more consistency, they can turn around and hold on to these fourth quarter leads that they've had and turn these into wins. And I think Cleveland at home is the perfect game to do it. And that was one of the most amazing touchdown catches I've ever seen.
Yeah, I know. I just watched that myself.
Texas or Miami?
Texas. It doesn't matter.
That quarterback
was about to be sacked, scrambled, and I thought he was just going to run for it, and then threw up a lob, and the guy caught it in traffic in the back of the end zone. Upsetting. But it doesn't matter.
What was upsetting? You know what was upsetting for Kansas City? Dwayne Bowe is looking really good as a rookie receiver for Kansas City, since I'll bring it back to the NFL. And he had a touchdown called back due to an illegal shift.
Isn't he from the AFL?
LSU. Tigers.
Oh, no, okay. I was thinking
almost.
Because there is a guy from KC from AFL.
Bobby Scipio, but he's not a starter. He was on the practice team. And they need to bring him up at any cost right now because he didn't drop a ball in training camp. Not one. And he's not on the team. Anyway, but Dwayne Bowe caught one in traffic in the end zone, and they called it back. It was such a beautiful catch, and he stole a touchdown prior from Tony Gonzalez. There were two open Chiefs in the end zone. Tony Gonzalez was falling, trying to catch it. Dwayne Bowe jumped a dude and caught it anyway. And Tony Gonzalez looked upset.
I would be. Yeah, I would be
too. That touchdown
would
put him over Sterling Sharp, that one.
Oh, that sucks. To get back to the Cleveland-Oakland game, I think Oakland's going to win this game straight up. I think they're going to win by more than three. I think that they are one or two plays away from putting away a couple wins, and I think they're going to be able to put a couple wins together. You got to win these games at home, and I think Oakland's going to do it. So let's next game, Cincinnati at Seattle. Seattle's the 3.5-point favorite.
Man, it's lame because I think Carson's going to light him up again. If it goes with at least my over-under pick, I'm taking Cincinnati. Because if they put up at least 21 in the air, I don't even know how Seattle's
going to
come back.
Also going Cincinnati.
Yeah, you kind of have to go at Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati's across the board. We kind of said it earlier. I think that Seattle's going to be the team that they're going to be running around, clock management. They're going to be making long and lengthy drives, and then the Bungles are going to get on the field and just lob touchdown passes. Carolina at Atlanta. Carolina's the 3.5-point favorite on the road.
I'm nervous due to the fact that the line's so low that they didn't give them like the 7 point or the 10 point because, yeah, Carolina's no good, but wow, Atlanta's
bad.
Their division, there isn't one for what they are right now, and I'm taking Carolina as a result.
Yeah, I also have to go with Carolina. I just don't think Atlanta's.
Until Atlanta can get a quarterback that's not hesitant to throw the ball, Got to go Carolina.
I think this is the upset of the week. Like I said,
Snapple.
I think Carolina is set to lose. I think that there's no reason why they should lose, and yet I have that feeling going into this week that Atlanta's gonna steal a win here at home. So I'm gonna go with Atlanta. Giants at Washington. We already set up how important this was to both teams. Washington is just a 3.5-point favorite at home.
Got to go with the man, Jason Campbell, behind the helm.
So Reggie's taking Washington?
I'm taking Washington.
Cuba?
I'm also taking Washington.
Greg?
I hate to follow suit, but I believe that run game is better, their air game is better, and the Giants have some of the worst team chemistry I've ever seen.
The Giants have much more talent than whatever's on the Redskins.
Oh, yes.
And the Redskins is playing much better football right now than the Giants have played in years. I got to go with Washington as well.
There you go.
Dallas at Chicago.
Such
high-powered offense.
This
game's
so
important
for the NFC.
Chicago, the betting lines, they've equaled them out. Chicago's a 3-point favorite at home.
I think this game tells you who the best team in the NFC could be currently. And I'm going to pick Dallas to score. And I know they're up against a tough defense, but man, their offense has been firing properly in a real good way.
They've had Patrick They're not Creighton. One-dimensional at all.
Patrick Creighton has taken up the steam that Terry Glenn left. T.O.'s looking fantastic on his routes. He hasn't dropped a ball yet.
Nope.
You got Marion Barber, who's looking – it's out in the media these days. Everybody knows that the best running back is not the starter in Dallas. Now, Julius Jones is good. I don't think he needs to get cut. I don't think he needs to go anywhere. I think their 1-2 punch works. He's just not better than Barber.
No, and Barber's actually getting more touches now outside the 20s, meaning
right.
He used to get all his touches in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Now he's getting more from the 50 up to and beyond. And
he's looking
like
good.
You said, Julius, he gets more touches than Julius Jones. He's a better back, I think, than Julius Jones, but I see no reason to change that chemistry right now.
No, there's no reason.
Things are going good. For my pick, I think when we were going into the season, everybody said the top three in the NFC was going to be the Saints, the Bears, and the Cowboys. And right now, it's not the Aints. They're not playing well at all on either side of the ball.
Nope.
No.
There's no consistency whatsoever from the offense from
Rex
Grossman.
It's really tough to pick a top three in the NFC right now. You can get a two, maybe.
I think Chicago, just because of the defense and the fact that they're in the NFC, deserves the number two spot. Right now, it's far and away the Cowboys.
That's right.
Yeah,
in the NFC. And
which
I think
why this
they're going to win.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal for the NFC. It's not a division game, but it really matters because – well, the Dallas has an opportunity to put themselves in a really good spot in that NFC East where it's them and then beat Washington once and you're set.
Yep, and I'm picking Dallas to win the game outright, not just cover the spread, to win the game. Reggie, what do you say?
I said Dallas as well.
And Cuba?
I have to say the same thing just because
we got
Rex Grossman.
Crossouts this week.
Not as much as last week.
That's true.
So, game of the week, or the final game of the week, Monday night. It's probably going to be another one of those
game of the week.
One of those boring ones. Monday night's so famous for
sloppy bullshit.
Tennessee at New Orleans. You've got Vince Young running around looking ugly as anything as a passer, and yet he wins games. You've got the Saints, who have no defense and up until this point no offense, trying to turn it around in their first home opener of the season. Because it's a home opener, the Saints are the 4-point favorite. So Cuba, what do you say?
I have to say Saints.
I'm going to try to believe in the Saint magic at home.
Yep.
Because come on, guys. We're talking about Peyton getting 15 or more touches to Deuce. We're talking about all those things. If I believe what we've been talking about, they can't lose this game.
No.
And let me tell you something about the rest of their season. They can't lose this game. You can't start off 0-3 and do anything right now. I know that division isn't necessarily the strongest division going.
I think that's the weakest division in the NFC.
Yeah, it's not a good one. But they got to win this game. You can't start 0-3 and do much in the NFL. This is a real league with real teams and real players. And they've got real players, and they're not playing well. It's unfortunate, but I'm picking them on the – it's one of those, like, I'm on the edge of the cliff of then I will then give up on them and no longer pick them and no longer expect them to win and no longer look to start any of their players fantasy-wise, etc. If New Orleans can't put this win together against a probably 9-win Tennessee team, maybe 8-win Tennessee team by the end of the season, it's over. It's lost.
Yeah.
And they're never going to win a game in the playoffs. Like, last year they won that first game in the playoffs, didn't they? They went to the second round.
Yeah.
And that's just not going to happen this year.
Yeah, I myself, I think this is going to be the game that the Saints actually show up. They are home. they have no choice but to show up now. So, and plus, I'm hoping that Vince Young goes down.
Oh,
and he's out for the season.
All right. And I agree with everything you guys said. There's no way the Saints can start off 0-3. They need a win right now. It's a home game. They need to turn it around. I think McAllister's going to get his touches. I think Bush is going to kind of break out of his shell. I think the pass is going to work. I still think their defense is going to be a little slack. I think Vince Young is going to keep it close, but I think when it's crunch time and it's the end of the game, I really think that the Saints are going to pull it out, get their first win, and start setting their season back on the right track. Hopefully on the road to a better record than 8-8. Although
that'd be a
couple more losses,
this year.
That would be a disaster for them because they had Super Bowl hype going in to represent the NFC.
Yes, they did.
They were one of the two.
That's
it's
not
gone
yet.
You can't give up on a season for being 0-2. That's why I say the same thing about the Jets, where everyone thought they were going to be 0-2 to start the season based on who they played.
I'm just worried about 0-3 going into
0-3
going into week 4.
Not what you want to see.
With not a win.
It's
hard to do.
It's hard to make a comeback.
It hits you on the morale. It hits you too many ways. It's just not pleasant.
All right. Even when we tried to do a quick show, we still end up pushing over 2 hours.
It might almost be three.
No. The first one was a little bit over an hour, but we had about 15 minutes of recording beforehand. Whoa. This one's over an hour. We're giving you your money's worth.
Well, here's the thing.
Why is it so long?
Because
we're awesome.
There's going to be a lot more stuff coming up in the season that you're going to talk about.
It's going to be rough. My girlfriend's telling me, she's like, who wants to listen to you talk for 2 hours? I'm like, apparently not you. Okay.
Oh, God.
Why did she say that?
Ouch.
She was joking. Whatever.
That's not even nice.
Uh-huh.
Anne doesn't listen either.
Now I'm getting text messages. She's mad at me already. She doesn't
even
hear
it right now.
She just felt it.
Yeah, thanks for listening to our show, Anne. You live here and you don't even listen to it.
Okay.
Oh,
we're going to go ahead,
count.
Get out of here because we've been talking so long. Our voice is nasty. We need a break, but we will be back next week wrapping up all the week 3 action, telling you who's awesome in fantasy, who picked all the right choices, did everything right, and we'll also give you all the news
and
updates.
And my new What's Your Fantasy? I get a segment. Yay, by default.
Finally.
By default.
Yeah.
Only because
somebody gave up.
Somebody quit. I was trying to come up with one. I was going to make my little life and football thing into something, but I might just do that for the blog.
Yeah, that'll work. Go ahead. Speaking of the blog, check out fourthandgoalshow.blogspot.com. We can also send emails to fourthandgoalshow@gmail.com. Send us your support. Tell us you love us. Tell us you hate us. Ask fantasy questions, anything you want. That's fourthandgoalshow@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, write a review of us on iTunes or click the Dig It link on the blog.
Dig It!
Go ahead. That'll help us move up the page of the Dig and get some support going on for the show. For Reggie Cuba, Craig, I'm Mike Thomas. Good night, everybody.
Whee!